Okay, we're recording. Today is June 23rd, 2019. It's about 1:17 p.m., and we're in Los Angeles at the Westside Peace Center. This is the KPFK local station board meeting, and we're starting. So, Secretary, could you take roll call?
Grace Aaron.
Here.
Grace Aaron, present. Ken Aaron.
Here.
Ken Aaron, present. Michael Adler, present. Singy Bird. Singy Bird, present. Fred Blair.
Present.
Fred Blair, present. Sandy Childs.
Here.
Sandy Childs, present. Bella DeSoto.
Present.
Bella DeSoto, present. Jamie Gomez.
Here.
Jamie Gomez, present. Jan Goodman has requested an excused absence. Ali Lexa.
Excused absence.
Did he requested.
Okay, I didn't
emergency
see.
Family.
Okay. Ali Lexa has requested an excused absence. Rob Macon?
He's on his way in. So.
Okay. Barbara Marbach? Michelle Manos? Michael Novak requested an excused absence?
No, he's on the phone.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
But I want to verify the reason why he's doing a telephone conference.
Okay, well, we're going to do that.
I already explained that for you.
Please, get recognition from the chair.
Okay.
We'll do that
Nancy
later.
Nancy Perlman.
Hold on, Michael, hold on.
No, hold it.
Michael, hold on.
Oh, you're talking on the phone. Keep it down a little bit. Because
Rezapur. Reza?
Yeah.
Rezapur, present. Steve Pride requests an excused absence. Lawrence Reyes.
Lawrence will be on the phone in a minute, but right now, I guess.
He's
okay.
Also in New Mexico.
All right. Paul Roberson?
He requested an exception.
But he also said he was going to call in.
That's true.
Oh, really?
Yes, he did.
So I'm not sure who he's calling into, but he requested excused absence. Mansoor Sabah requested an excused absence. Oscar Ulloa?
Present.
Oscar Ulloa, present. Polina Vasiliev?
Here.
Polina Vasiliev, present. Kiana Williams? Kiana Williams, present. Lisa Wong. Okay, we have 13 in person and Michael Novick on the telephone.
Okay, so we're going to do what Jamie requested before we do the excused absences. He wanted to know the reason why people were calling in.
Yeah, because they have to be calling in for legitimate reasons, so
okay.
It needs to be part of the record.
Can you speak to that? Go ahead.
Yes.
Can
yes, Michael, you're on.
Put him by the microphone, dear.
Lawrence Reyes is on his way back to California.
So could you, for us who are impaired hearing-wise, what did he say, Bella?
He said that he is in New Mexico. He had an engagement in New Mexico, and he certainly cannot be here, but he's available telephonically. That Lawrence Reyes was also there, but he has now gone back, returning back to California. But he may or may not be able to make it in time. But he will be telephonically in a few minutes, Lawrence Reyes.
Okay, is that motivating?
Yeah, that's fine. Okay, thank you.
All right, one second. I'd like to continue with the agenda, Bella, unless it's an emergency.
I have an issue regarding excused absences. I second Jaime Gomez's position that we need to know exactly what's going on. Also, Steve Pride
okay,
was
thank
not
you.
Mentioned.
That's enough of the discussion. I don't want to debate.
Steve Pride was not mentioned. He's
thank
not
you.
Here.
I just said Steve Pride requested an excused absence.
Oh, okay.
Thank you.
Not here. I'm sorry.
Okay.
Lisa
so,
Wong?
All right. So, thank
Lisa
you.
Lisa Wong is absent.
Lisa Wong is absent. Bella, stop interrupting. Bella and Paulina, get her attention. Bella, you have to be recognized before you speak. No, you have to be recognized each time you speak. If I recognize you at 8 a.m., you're not good for the whole day. Each time you have to be recognized. Okay, so we're going to move forward now.
And Barbara Marbach
okay, thank
is
you.
Here.
I got her.
timekeeper, and if somebody, did you want to act as a phone link for Paul Robeson? Robeson?
I could. I would like to be recognized, though.
Okay, recognize you.
Okay. Lisa Wong and Ali Alexa both called me earlier. They were here at 10:30 this morning. They didn't realize that the meeting time was changed. Lisa was here, and so was Ali. Ali, they both requested excused absences. Lisa may be able to call in. She's not sure, but she had a prior engagement. Ali had to take his mother to the airport, so he couldn't be here either. So that's the story.
Okay, so...
So they both requested excused absences.
Okay, according to the agenda, first thing we do is appoint a timekeeper, then read the decorum policy, approve the agenda, then we handle excused absences. Who would like to be a timekeeper for people talking and stuff? Nancy, I saw you move. Did you? Is that
what's... I'm not a timekeeper.
Okay. Everybody's frozen still. Fred, you can't do that. How about you, Jamie?
No.
No, do it. Reza, you want to keep time for people speaking? Okay, well, I'll do it myself. But Barbara, you're willing to do that? Thank you. So Barbara Marbach is the timekeeper. 90 seconds. Okay, so now I'm going to read the decorum policy. The decorum policy, let's see. You don't want to read this, do you?
I mean, I'll...
Are you a fast reader?
I'll try.
Fast?
Okay. Meeting decorum passed at LSB meeting April 17, 2016. The following rules and progressive discipline apply to KPFK local station board members and the public at LSB meetings as well as LSB committee meetings. At a meeting of the local station board, LSB members must wait to be recognized by the chair before speaking. Each speaker shall be allowed to speak for 90 seconds unless a different time limit has been agreed upon. No one shall speak a second time unless anyone who has spoken and wishes to speak has done so. No one shall be allowed to speak more than two times on any one agenda item unless giving a report and or being asked to respond. No LSB member or member of the public may physically assault or touch another person in an unwanted manner in any meeting. To do so will result in the chair asking the offending person to leave the meeting. Failure to leave may result in the offender losing all future speaking and attendance rights. No LSB member or member of the public may speak without being recognized, interrupt another who has the floor, or otherwise disrupt a meeting by any verbal or physical action. The only exception is to make a point of order or such point of privilege as allowed per Robert's Rules of Orders, which can only be done by LSB members or members of LSB committees. An LSB member who makes a point of order may interrupt another LSB member who is speaking. See Robert's Rules of Orders, chapter blah, blah, blah. A point of order is in order when another has the floor, even interrupting a person speaking or reading a report if the point genuinely requires attention at such a time. Personal verbal attacks on the character of another should also be considered disruptive and not tolerated. Less formality may be desired in some committee at the discretion of the chair and or the body. However, if discourtesy or disruption impede the work of the committee, more formal procedures should be reverted to, at least for the duration of that meeting. Upon a first minor offense, interrupting a speaker, for example, the chair would give the offender a warning. Upon a second offense, a second warning should be given. Upon a third offense at the same meeting, the chair may ask the body to consider depriving the offender of the right to be recognized for the remainder of that meeting. Should a request be voted on immediately and would be not debatable. If the offender continues disruptive behavior, he or she will be asked to leave the meeting, and if he or she fails to do so, may be barred from future participation. Any non-LSB member who has been reprimanded frequently for disrupting regular LSB meetings or LSB committee meetings should not be appointed to any LSB committee. The attached zero tolerance for violence Pacifica policy passed in March of 2010 should be followed and adhered to. Okay.
Thank you very much. Okay, now we're going to move to... Okay. Yes, Nancy, and then Polona, and then...
Thank you.
Mello.
Thank you for reading that. I just request that future meetings...
Could you speak louder, please?
I request that future meetings, we don't need to read this every single time. We've read it. We're all elected. We've heard it. It's in the policy. If we need to reference it, we can. But we don't need to hear it every single time.
Well, thank you. Okay. I consider that a recommendation, not a motion, but thank you.
Yes. Go ahead,
Chair Molina. Lawrence Reyes is present on the phone.
Okay, thank you. Bella?
I just got an email from Rob Macon, as I mentioned before, that he was on his way in, but he's saying he's running... But he's running late. So
yeah,
he
thank you. Okay, thank you.
Michelle.
Okay, great. Okay, very good. The next is approve the agenda. Now, here's the situation. I emailed out an agenda. It's printed. You have it in front of you. But Bella wanted to make some modifications of it. What I'd like to do is look at the agenda. Bella said it's items 2 to 5. That's what the changes were. And I don't have any comments about it. I'd rather, it's not going to be debatable, but people can ask questions, so you can ask for information. But it's not to debate. Look at both agendas and decide which ones you want. And the only thing I have to comment to make is that there's a National Elections Committee and there's no local elections committee. So the statements where it says election, Fred Blair is willing to give us the election schedule and stuff about that, but it's not really from a committee. Sorry, we don't take questions from the audience, from the attending public, excuse me. Yes, Grace.
I move that we adopt the original agenda with the addition of, in Section 5, a report from the outreach, the town hall, the fund and outreach town hall and that's it. Just add the outreach and town hall committees to the original agenda number 5.
Point of information. What
okay, Jamie. One second. Jamie's point of information. Then we'll see if there's
okay,
a second.
Bella is requesting that.
The BENF?
If I may?
No, hold it. Let her complete speaking, then you'll go next.
Okay. Bella proposed a revised agenda. On her revised agenda number point 2, she's pointing out correctly that the Outreach Committee and the Town Hall Task Force is not listed as a committee report for in the original agenda point number 5. So I'm saying to add as after D, add as E, outreach, and F, town hall task force, to the original agenda.
Okay, thank
and
you.
Chair?
But a point of information on
that's
that.
That's my motion.
Okay, but the point of information on there's other changes that Bella recommended, like moving the public statement, a public comment after the ED's speech, or no, yes. After the local reports. So instead of after, where it is now.
Chair?
So I'm going to recognize Bella.
Thank you. I would like to explain exactly why is it that I have to create revise the agenda. As per Grace, who interpreted that two local committees under the jurisdiction of LSB were omitted in the original agenda. But moreover, I moved it to number 2 because for those that were not here last month, we were precluded from giving our local committee reports, make any motions, make any comments. For that reason, it should have been listed as new business from the very beginning of the agenda. Thirdly, the issue of giving us an update on the election timeline should be also recognized under the local efforts because it's not a national PNB committee. Okay, fourthly, I moved logically the public comment after all of these committees have given their reports so that the public has understanding of what we are doing, why we are gathering to take care of the people's business. This has not been done, was not done, and has not been done in this order before. And that's how it should be. We work hard at these committees.
Okay, thank you, Bella.
And that is the reason for that.
Thank you for motivating it.
Only through four, in fact, were revised. Five remains the same with the report from Pacific Executive Director.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, does anybody... I really don't want to entertain Grace's motion. I want to go with one agenda or the other. If you decide to go with the first agenda, then we can take Grace's amendment to it.
She has no amendment.
Because that's basically what Grace had said. So let's go. Yes, Jamie, go ahead.
Yeah, I move to accept the revised agenda as proposed by Bella.
Okay, any second on that?
I'll second.
Okay, so we've talked about it. You got it. Any votes? You ready to vote? You ready?
Any objections?
Any objections to using the revised agenda?
I object.
Anybody else? Okay, so there's one objection. Do we need to vote?
No.
Good. So the revised agenda is accepted. Thank you. Thank you for noting those things.
Thank you.
I appreciate your work. Okay, so next is excused absences. You ready to read them off?
Yeah. Hang on. Okay, so here are the excused absences I have. And Jan Goodman has an excused absence to attend a award presentation. Do you want me to just read them?
No, one second. Okay. I think in the last meeting we determined the only equitable thing to do is vote on them one at a time. You can't just put them all together and say, yeah. That's really... dumping our responsibilities, negligent. So let's go one at a time. Jan Goodman, is that it?
She has an award, soiree that she is receiving an award at and is attending.
It's a lifetime award for, what's it called? Do you remember?
I don't remember.
You don't remember, okay. All right. Anybody object? Anybody opposed to that excused absence?
No.
Nope, good. Next.
Okay. Ollie Lexa apparently... did not get the five emails that said we had moved it to 1 o'clock and showed up at 10:30 and had a conflict at 1.
I got a little bit more information. He had to take his mother to the airport for 1 o'clock, and I just responded to him and said, try to make it back after that because it's not that far from the airport after he drops her off.
Okay.
But I don't know if he's coming or not. So anybody object to excusing Ali Lex's excused absence? None? Okay, good. Next.
Okay. Steve Pride requested an excused absence for health reasons. He's still recovering from his stroke.
Any objection to that excused absence? Bella, any others?
I'm sorry, Jimmy?
Oh, and he had a fall also.
Yeah, and he fell. Bella, just you object. Any other objection?
I have a comment why I object.
All right, go ahead.
He was requested to resign because he knew he was not going to be able to fulfill his commitment to this board. And that is an issue that has not been taken up. While other people are waiting to come in and do the hard work, he has not been available since we formed it after the last election.
Okay, thank you. Any other objections to an excused absence for Steve Pride? Okay. So it's one objection. You objected. You're noted.
Michael Novick objects too.
Okay. That's two objections. Do you want to take a... Do we do a vote if we get like two objections? Or
Excuse me. Michael Novick wants to be heard.
Okay. Michael wants to be recognized. Try and put it on the mic so we can all hear it.
Really?
Yeah, I think you're going to have to...
In November. He should step aside because his term expires in 3 months, 4 months. And what it is precluding other folks from coming in, stepping in and doing the work.
Okay, thank you, Michael. Grace Aaron.
Yes, I've been keeping track of Steve's progress on Facebook. His friends have a Facebook page. Mm-hmm. He has been recovering, and he does intend to be functional and to be able to continue to participate on this board, according to his Facebook news about him. So I think it would be premature to assume that he's not healthy enough to serve.
Okay, thank you. We're not voting on whether or not he's healthy enough to serve or should be forced to resign or anything like that. We're just voting on, do we excuse his absence from today's meeting? I'm calling a vote. No more debate. We have too much business to sit on this. And we're not taking any motions. We're just getting excused absence. I'm not recognizing anybody for anything else. Who the vote on this?
All those in favor of providing an excused absence for Steve Pride, please raise your hand. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. All those opposed?
And Michael, right?
One.
And
Michael?
Michael voted.
All right.
Okay, so there's two.
Okay.
Yes.
Abstaining?
One, two, three.
Okay. So the vote is
Lawrence
Reyes abstains.
Okay. So we have yes 10, no 2, abstain 4.
Thank you. Okay, next excused absence.
Is Lawrence on the phone?
Yes.
Okay, so let me skip down to Paul Roberson is traveling.
No, he had to go to some event.
Okay.
He may call in or we may contact him. But at this point in time, does anybody object to excusing Paul's absence? His email was he had to go to some an event somewhere. There's an objection. Anybody else? Okay. So he gets excused absence with one objection. Pardon me?
Point of information?
Yeah, what's that?
Have you read the 3-day tolerance excused absence policy? Which I said.
Which policy is that?
It's 3 unexcused absences in sequence.
That is correct. Okay.
Yeah, what about it?
I just want to make sure that.
Okay, great. Okay. Next excused absence?
Mansoor Sabah, he has. 2 events that he's working on today and will not be able to attend 2 events for KPFK.
Okay, any objection to granting him an excused absence? Good, next.
All right, just 1 second, let me take that down. Lisa Wong also requested an excused absence,
yes.
Grace. Okay.
Pardon me. Just all you have to do to be recognized is raise your hand and wait till you're recognized. So this is now about Lisa Wong. Go ahead.
Yes. So point of information, where is her email to Michael Adler or to the LSB? Is everyone else?
Okay. Did anybody receive an email? Thank you. Thank you.
We have to take your word, Grace.
Thank you. Got it, Bella. Stop. Stop it, Bella. Got your question.
You are cutting me off.
I know. I'm the chair. Stop. We got your question. We have a lot of things to do.
I need an answer.
Well, I got that. You'll get it when you stop talking and we get the answer. Rely on the chair, okay? So who received an email from Lisa Wong? Nobody.
Okay.
Grace?
Okay. First of all, Lisa Wong was here earlier today, okay? She called. She may not have, or she may have mistakenly sent an email or whatever. She called our house to talk to Ken. He wasn't available. I took the message. She requested an excused absence. She was here, showing her good faith desire to serve. Mm-hmm. And I suggest we excuse her absence.
Thank you. Any other? Okay, great. So. Anybody object to an excused absence for Lisa Wong?
No.
Bella? Singh? What about Michael?
Michael, what is your position with Lisa Wong's excused absence? I cannot hear you.
No objection.
No objection.
No objection, okay.
And no Lawrence. Okay, great. So we have...
Well,
three or four objections. Do we have to go for a vote then?
All right, let's go for a
vote. Okay, we're going to go for a vote on Lisa Wong.
I got an objection and also for information regarding just as simple as...
Oscar, could you speak up or use the mic? There's 24 people.
I got to know. The comment that, or the reason why this person says that he wasn't, what Lisa understood, that she is not being aware of the time to be here. I kind of have a thread from the no reply at kpfta.org, which even today at 5:32 a.m., somewhere around 10:30, I had like 15 of these emails, so it's
right.
Kind of
okay,
surprising
thank you.
For me.
So you object too. We're going to do a vote. Go ahead, Michael.
All right. All those in favor of giving Lisa Wong an excused absence, please raise your hand. One, two, three, four, five, six, seven, and I'm going to pass. All those objecting to giving Lisa Wong an excused absence? One, two, three, four, five.
Michael?
No,
we are saying if people have objections, so we are raising our hands for objections. Did you object? Did you change your position for Lisa Wong?
Okay, that's it.
Yeah, correct.
Okay.
No.
So let me recount the no's then. All those in objecting to giving Lisa Wong an excused absence, we have Michael Novick as well
Oscar,
as...
Oscar, keep your hand up on
please
votes.
Please keep your hand up.
It's the only exercise we get here.
One, two, three, four, five, six.
And
abstain. One, two. Two abstain.
And I didn't vote. I will vote yes to excuse.
Okay.
Ken, did you
recognize me? Nancy?
A comment. At the last meeting, we wrote down the time. It was going to be 1 o'clock. And then I was reading emails, and at some point... Someplace, I can't remember when or where or who, it came out, the meeting was going to be 10:30. And I thought it had been changed. There was confusion. And I feel horrible for anybody who made a trip who was confused. I was confused. I wrote, I don't know if you all thought it, I wrote back a reply to everybody saying, what time is the meeting? Because I was confused seeing two different times.
You could have received five automated emails saying it was at 1 o'clock, plus my copy of the minutes that said it was at 1 o'clock.
I know, that's why I'm here at 1 o'clock. I'm just saying it was very confusing that nothing said it was incorrect.
Okay.
It was confusing about the correction. There was an incorrect.
Okay, thank you, thank you.
Just for the future.
Right, okay, got it, just for the future. So, what's the vote on Lisa Wong?
Excuse me. Yes, 7. No, 6. Abstain, 3.
Okay, great. She's excused. Next, excused absence.
That's it.
Okay, so we're going to move forward now. We're going to move forward. Do you want to be recognized, Jamie?
Yeah. You had voted yes after the fact because you had passed, so that should make it 8.
Thank you.
Okay.
I abstain.
No, Ken.
Yeah, but did you get
did
my...
Did you vote yes?
Yes.
Okay, sorry. Thank you.
Thank you, Jamie.
You're welcome.
Okay, so next we move on our bureaucratic tasks here. The minutes were distributed. Is there any objection to accepting the minutes as they were distributed? No, good, they're accepted. Now, what time do we want to adjourn today? That's
point
our next detail. Pardon me, what was that?
Point of information, Chair?
Is it about something on the agenda?
No.
Okay, it's...
Are you referring to the minutes or the agenda?
Well, we're doing the minutes now. I asked if there's an objection to approving them. Nobody's objected.
Okay.
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay, well, the reason why I would object is for the same reason that I was compelled to do a revised agenda, because they're not reflecting what transpired in last month when we were here. We were not allowed to give our reports as committees under the LSD jurisdiction.
Okay. I want to give you a point of information on this. If you look in Robert's rules, the only thing required to be reported in minutes are approved motions. That's it. There's nothing in there about what else happened in the meeting, who did a dance, gave out cookies, stood up and waved the flag. There's nothing else required in the minutes. So unless there's a false report in the minutes, if there is a false report in the minutes, you should report it in writing. Because we're taking up time now on the meeting, this could have been handled ahead of time.
Could you let me reply to that? Is the Programming Oversight Committee did make a report. It was allowed to make a report and a motion, but it went nowhere.
Okay.
So, this is documented in the minutes. Did you read the minutes?
But it does not say what transpired, you see.
Well, again, the only thing required to be reported is motions that were approved. If all right, and a little bit more than that, motions that failed.
Right.
But to say, and this is going to be covered in this meeting, the motion that was brought up by the Program Oversight Committee was never on the floor. And we're going to cover that today. I'm going to give you the Roberts Rules reference.
Can I make a,
go ahead,
point
Michael.
Of order? So I'm going to quote the minutes here. A motion was made to extend. Okay, so we're talking here. The motion was read, but before it could be discussed, it was recognized that we were past time certain. A motion was made to extend the meeting to 2:30. I describe how that failed. A motion was made to hold a third round of public comments and adjourn immediately after public comments. The motion passed with a vote of blah, blah, blah. As a result, the rest of the committee reports, including personnel and outreach, were suspended. And the programming oversight motion will be considered next month. Also taken off the agenda were the open discussion of LSB activities and future and how to better respond to public comments.
Okay.
So I think I did put all that on there, even though, you know, what is your objection?
That is not reflected on the agenda.
Okay, thank
it's
you.
It's in the minute. Okay, it's in the minutes, though. We're talking about minutes. So
okay,
you have an objection to the minutes.
Okay. Okay, thank you. Bella, I would like you to put a little bit more judgment about when you take up time of the meeting, because there's 24 people here, a little bit less, 20. We all want to participate, okay? So I certainly want your valued input when you have it, but not on every little issue and tweak. Decide. Use some judgment. Okay. Next, we're going to move forward to, we got the minutes approved. When do we want to adjourn this morning? We've got, like...
I'd like to be right now.
Yes.
What I'm going to ask of the LSB is that we can together be realistic about when these meetings are going to end. You know, be realistic about our start time, even if it takes us a few minutes to gather and convene. I think that should be reflected in our agenda. I know that as a new member... I was, fairly shocked at how we don't stick to the agenda regarding time, just regarding time. And so I'm just going to ask, I don't know, I don't need to, like, make a motion, but I'm going to ask that we all try to work together. Whatever we set should be realistic, and as we carry over from month to month, we should be realistic about when we're starting and when we're ending. And then be respectful of that as we interrupt and interject, just be respectful of time.
Okay, well, thank you for that. The topic now is when do we want to adjourn? Let me just give you the information. I estimated 3 hours and 15 minutes, and we've already used 25, so that gives us an hour and 40 minutes or an hour and 50 minutes. It's 1:50 now, so that would be 2:50. It would be like 4 o'clock, approaching 4 o'clock. So when do we want to adjourn? Grace Aaron.
Okay, I move that we adjourn this meeting at time certain of 4:30.
4:30. Okay. Anybody second that?
Sounds a bit long.
Okay, let's get another recommendation for when we adjourn. Does anybody besides Bella want to originate on this?
4 o'clock.
3:30. Who is that? Jamie, 4? Any second on that?
Second. 3.
Okay, let's vote on that.
Point of information?
Nope. We're just going to vote. It's just the time we adjourn. It's not debatable.
Voting yes.
bar.
Let's come back to that.
What time?
Okay.
Yes, let's move along. 4 o'clock is the proposed time to adjourn. Of course, we can always adjourn earlier or extend if necessary.
All right. All those in favor of setting time certain to adjourn at 4 o'clock, please raise your hand. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11.
4:30.
Hang on. All those opposed?
It was seconded for 4:30.
Well, we're voting on 4 o'clock. All those opposed to 4 o'clock?
It was a substitute motion.
No one is objecting. You're objecting at 4 o'clock.
Michael Novick is opposing also.
I don't think he has. Oh, well, okay, go ahead.
Okay, no two. All those abstaining? Ken, are you abstained?
Yes, I abstain.
Okay, anyone else abstain? Okay, so we have yes 11, no 2, abstaining 1.
Okay.
Point of order.
Yes.
There needs clarification on the minutes, whether or not they were passed.
Correct. They were not passed.
And I know there was an objection.
Well, did we vote on the minutes?
No.
I thought we said without objection.
Didn't you
say with no? We can rewind the
okay. The chair rules. We're going to go back and vote again on accepting the minutes because there's a confusion about it. Anybody object to that ruling? No. Good. Let's go through the ruling.
Information from Michael Novick.
Well, Michael's going to have to restrain himself because I can't hear what he says. I don't think anybody else can. And I don't have the time to have translation.
I can hear him.
Go ahead. What's his objection?
That's correct. That the prior minutes were postponed.
The prior month's minutes, were they passed also?
No.
The prior minutes were passed. The minutes, yes, they were.
They were.
Postponed.
No.
The minutes from both...
From
March and April were both approved at the last meeting.
Okay, great.
Which minutes are you referring to?
I'm sorry.
Okay.
The chair rules, we cannot be held up telephonically to hold up this whole committee. Okay. Go ahead. So we're going to vote on the approval of the minutes to clarify it.
Okay. First, let me ask, are there any objections to approving the May 19th, 2019 minutes? So I'd like to, so they're passed by unanimous consent?
Yes.
I object to the May minutes.
Why? Okay, Bella, I'm going to put that down as a demerit. He asked the question. You didn't respond. You're taking up more time now.
Did not hear him. Did you?
Why did you not hear him? Everybody else did.
Are you a perfect person?
Come on. Guys.
Cut it out, Bella.
Why are you arguing with me?
I'm putting you down for dilatory delay. I'm marking you with one warning. One warning.
Yeah. Okay.
Okay.
All right. We have one objection to approving the minutes of May 19, 2019.
Right.
Any other objections?
I would like to call for a hand vote.
Okay.
Thank you.
All right. All those in favor of passing the minutes of May 19th, please raise your hand. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. Did he say yes?
Michael, yes.
Yes.
9, 10, 11, 12. All those opposed? One opposed, abstain. Two abstain. Okay.
Okay, I got that. Grace wants to be recognized. Is anybody else? Okay. One second. Let me see what we're going to do next. We've already set the time of adjourning, and then the next thing will be when we meet again. Okay. What is it, Grace?
Just a suggestion. Why don't you take Bella's phone? Because you're the chair, so that you can hear what Michael has to say and deal with that instead of having that difficulty.
Okay, good. That's a good... Anybody object to that?
Michael, I'm going to pass you the phone, pass the cell to...
Yes,
hold on, please.
Very good idea. Thank you, Grace.
So 21st at 10:30 sounds good.
Well, I've got the 21st. Yeah, now we're going to set the time and location of the next meeting of the LSB. Thank you. Great. And can you hear me, Michael?
Oh, wait. The microphone is on when it's green.
Yes, I hear you fine.
Okay, I hear you fine also.
Everybody can hear him.
Okay, so let's go. The next item, date and location of next meeting, the 21st of July, Sunday, 10:30 a.m. right here. Any objections?
What date?
21st of July, Sunday. That's the third Sunday in July.
Not the 14th as we had originally.
No, that's the second Sunday.
What is the date?
Third Sunday, the 21st of July.
Do we normally do the second?
The 31st?
21st.
21st, okay.
We do the third Sunday.
That's yeah.
Tradition.
So. Oh, okay, okay, good. All right.
Any objections to that? Yes, Polina.
Yeah, I would make an alternate motion that we meet at 1 p.m.
Seconded.
Okay, we're going to debate that. So that was seconded. We're going to debate it. Bella, you're going to have to stand down a little bit. Who wants to be in favor of that motion to make it 1 instead of 10:30?
Right here.
Bella, go ahead.
I had a motion, and I submitted it to the Governance Committee 2 months ago, that we should return to 1 o'clock, and it has been ignored.
Okay, well, congratulations. What's your argument for changing it to 1 o'clock?
So that more people can attend, as it was historically prior.
Thank you.
And 2 years ago, it was changed to 10:30 arbitrarily.
Okay, thank you. Anybody opposed to making it 1 o'clock? Grace?
Yeah.
And Jamie?
I'll defer to Jamie.
Yeah,
actually, it's been 10:30 for at least 3 years that I've been coming here.
Not three, no.
Yes,
two.
It has.
May I comment?
But,
three.
But let me finish. And then, so I don't know if we have checked with the Peace Center that the Peace Center will be available at 1 o'clock. Because what has happened is the Peace Center has allocated 10:30 on the third Sunday of each month for us for the entire year. And other people book this location and have regular meetings. So us just changing from 10:30 to 1 because we want to doesn't necessarily mean that this location will be available to us. So well, that is my
subject to check
primary concern.
Okay, so now we're doing for and against. So who's for this? We have Bella, we have Jamie against, and you're for.
I am.
Go ahead.
I don't feel extraordinarily strongly either way. The reason that I'm voting for making a statement is because Black Lives Matter has asked allies to join the group White People for Black Lives to grow their movement of solidarity. That group, White People for Black Lives, also meets the third Sunday every month in the morning. So it's a conflict for those of us who want to do both, and I know there are several people in this room who do both.
Okay, thank you. Grace against.
Okay. I think it's too much of a burden on board members to come to a meeting in the middle of a Sunday. At least if it's in the morning, we have the rest of the day to enjoy our families or to do other things. I much prefer, we've been meeting successfully at 10:30, third Sunday of the month. I suggest that we continue that. But I understand that there can be conflicts, but I would find it an extreme burden to have a meeting in the middle of a Sunday.
Okay. You can alternate. Is that an option?
That's enough of the dialogue. So let's just vote.
Okay. All those in favor of... Hang on just a sec. Let me get this so I can write it down. All those in favor of continuing to... Let's see. We were...
No, the motion is...
Yes is to move it. Okay, so all those in favor of moving our meetings from now on to the third Sunday at 1 p.m., moving to 1 p.m., please raise your hands. If you want.
One moment. Before it's pending availability of facilities at the Westside Peace Center.
Pending availability of the Peace Center. Okay, all those in favor of moving to 1 p.m. pending availability of the Peace Center, please raise your hands.
Okay, one second. I'll give it to you.
One. Michael Novick, you said in favor?
In favor.
Okay.
Thank you, Michael.
All right.
Yeah, what are we voting for?
1 o'clock. We're voting for 1 o'clock.
Okay.
Twice.
Pay attention.
Ken was having conversation.
I got it. Go ahead.
All those, can we just keep your hands up? Okay. All those in favor of moving the meetings to 1 o'clock, please raise your hands. And I know Michael Novick is also in favor. So that's 4. Opposed?
That was 6-4.
Hold on. Oh, I'm sorry, I missed it. 1, 2, 3, 4.
Reza? Reza, raise your hand.
Stop that.
If you have your hand in front of your face, it's not raised. All right. 1, 2, 3, and Oscar, and Michelle, and Michael. So 6 total.
Okay.
All those opposed to moving it to 1 o'clock? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. All those abstaining? 1, 2.
Okay.
So the vote is yes, 6, no, 9, abstain, 2.
Okay. We have to take an interruption here, an emergency alert.
Lost book, White Supremacy and the Right Wing. I thought I may have left it.
Hasn't shown up. Thank you.
Okay,
so now the next thing on our agenda is to... I think we're ready for the first outreach committee, right? Okay.
Outreach.
So we have 40 minutes for all of these. There's a lot of meetings here, so...
Does that mean the meeting is at 10:30?
Pardon me.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
And I also have a point of information.
Point of information. Go ahead.
I didn't correct you earlier in terms of Robert's rules, but if I understand correctly, for Robert's rules of order, that you're correct in terms of what's mandated in the minutes, unless somebody makes a specific request on an item that it be included in the minutes.
Okay, well, if you have the word unless, then I was right. Because I said what was required.
Okay.
That's fine.
Okay.
So let's move on to the outreach committee, Bella DeSoto, and I'm going to give you 8 minutes in respect to the other committees.
Okay, well, the outreach committee...
Timekeeper, 8 minutes.
The outreach committee meets.
Pardon me for interrupting. Could you use a mic?
Sure. The outreach committee meets the last Sunday of every month at the station at 11:30 a.m. It's a kind of a potluck situation, very casual. We do a lot of exchange about what goes on in the community, how we can best expand. The message of KPFK to the community. However, this month and for the next few months, we will be consumed with the next town hall event for KPFK. So we are trying to coordinate. Historically, the outreach has coordinated with the town hall task force. And so we are working together and trying to get this off the ground. We met through the fundraising committee as well, which will be also working with the task force and with the GM. We are putting together some T-shirts, hats, all kinds of good stuff for the town hall and the outreach. Sorry, I have to mix these things in because we are going to do it all through the GM who has a connection. And we can get good prices. The other thing is that every month we have a movie night, and it's usually held at the Echo Park Film Center, and it starts at 6:30 with a potluck situation. It's a lot of fun, movie discussion. We talk about KPFK, what's going on, etc. However, the Film Center did not have anything open for us for this month. We're still trying to get a venue for that. In the meantime, our concentration is with the town hall, next town hall for KPFK. That's for the outreach. We meet again this coming Sunday, the last Sunday of this month, which will be the 30th at 11:30 a.m. in KBFK.
Thank you, Bill.
The Outreach also has a vigil every Friday afternoon from 5 o'clock till 6. Very successful. People hold banners. KBFK is promoted. And the reason being is for peace. And it's at the corner at the intersection of Echo Park Boulevard and Sunset Boulevard. Echo Park Street and Sunset Boulevard. We invite everybody to join us. 5 o'clock every Friday. Russ, I would like to add something. He's the co-chair.
Every Friday on the corner of Sunset Echo Park next to Twin Towers. And the prisoner, we are 5% of the world population, but we have 25% of world population in prison. At the, you know, the prisoner behind, after they see us with pots and a spoon, they start playing for us. It's unbelievable, you know. We are 5% of the world population, but we have 25% of world population in prison in Twin Towers.
I will do the report for the time.
Thank you. Is that it?
My pleasure, yes.
Done on the outreach? Thank you very much. Next committee, Town Hall Task Force.
Okay,
Lawrence Reyes. Is there anybody else on the committee?
He is driving back. I am the committee.
Okay, he's driving.
So I'm the secretary. So I am the secretary of the committee.
Can you make a report?
Yes.
Go ahead.
So, again, we have been working with the outreach and with fundraising. We and the GM... and we are trying to set a date for the town hall, but unfortunately it's very difficult around the scheduling of the station doing fund drives all the time. So we are trying to coordinate what is the most logical and best time to do this, to hold the next town hall for KPFK around the scheduling of the KPFK fund drive. So we're working with the GM on that. We will be announcing that. The other issue is that per Lawrence Reyes, the LSB holds a fund that could provide us with petty cash. We are going to be requesting a $500 petty cash to get this off the ground so we can get our T-shirts and other paraphernalia for the town hall to promote KPFK working with the GM. And we may or may not use it. And we may or may not use it, but we are asking for that. We will be submitting a request for the petty cash $500.
Thank you. And Michael,
thank
can you,
you
say something?
No? Lawrence is here.
Okay. Michael, I didn't get that. Say it again.
I didn't say it.
Okay.
I didn't say anything.
Okay,
think,
good. Got it.
Lawrence tried to say something.
Lawrence wants to participate on the report? Okay, do we have a mic? Okay, you ready, Lawrence?
Yes, but we don't do the reports.
Can you tell him I just did the report?
Can you do...
Can you hear me?
Bella DeSoto did a report for the town hall committee. Do you want to add anything?
No.
Okay, thank you. Thank you very much. Okay, so the next committee is governance. And we have normally in governance... We take care of the protocols that we're using here and we set the agenda. And again, board members, if you have from your committees or even as an individual a motion you want us to put on the agenda, please send it to us, to the governance committee, to me, if you have my email address. So there was an issue in the last meeting where Mr. Novick felt that he got a motion on the floor and time was up and we should have voted on it. But, in fact, the motion was not on the floor. So I did the research on that. And this is an excerpt from Robert's Rules of Order, Issue 11, page 32. The three steps by which a motion is normally brought before the assembly are as follows. One, a member makes the motion. The words move and offer also refer to this step. A person is said to make a motion, but he uses the word move when he does so. He is also said to move a particular proposal, as in to move a postponement. Two, another member seconds the motion. Three, the chair states the question on the motion. The step of stating the question on the motion should not be confused with putting the question, which takes place later and means putting the motion to a vote. So neither the making nor the seconding of a motion places it before the assembly. Only the chair can do that by the third step, stating the question. When the chair has stated the question, the motion is pending. That is on the floor. An aside, I said on the table. That was an error. Not until I'm finished, Michael. It is then open to debate. If it is a main motion or one of several other debatable parliamentary motions, which are described in later chapters, if the assembly decides to do what a motion proposes, it adopts the motion or the motion is carried. If the assembly expressly decides against doing what the motion proposes, the motion is lost or rejected. So the point is, members make a motion, it gets seconded, and then the chair gets the motion and agrees on the wording of the proposal. And when he states the question, like as we've been doing today, do we approve of this excused absence? Should we paint the roof purple?
Oh.
That's it. And then the motion is on the floor and can be debated. That's the Robert's rules.
Is my point of order now in order?
Well, yeah, go ahead. This is Michael.
My point of order is that the longstanding practice, I'm not objecting to whether that motion was on the floor or not, but the longstanding practice of the local station board has been that committee motions being presented to the body do not need to be seconded.
Thank you.
If they're being made by a committee.
Okay, that's a longstanding, everybody knows, or is it a longstanding policy that was approved?
Right.
Michael?
I don't know if it's a written policy. It was the practice for many, many years that committee motions do not need to be seconded.
Okay, thank you. Thank you. We understand what you said. 1 second. Nancy, then Grace.
You mentioned that to get a motion, it needed to be communicated to you to be on the agenda.
That is correct.
And my question is not a motion per se, but there was a lot of email exchange back and forth regarding Spanish language programming, and I thought I replied and requested that it be put on the agenda for discussion. Now, that's separate from a motion.
No, that is a motion that the body will discuss a topic.
Oh, right. Really?
Sure. It's like we're going to go into the motion that we all take, go into
it
the
was
sauna.
Seconded. I thought it could just be put on the agenda.
No, your motion is to have a discussion.
Oh, so I needed to make a motion to have the discussion.
You did.
Yes. Bella, that's your second warning. Thank you.
Okay.
So, yes.
It's not on the agenda.
Any action that the committee, the body, decides, as the word is used here, it, if adopts the motion or the motion is carried, it says, decides to do what the motion proposes.
So
if you make a motion that we're going to talk about Mahjong, then it's a motion. Pardon me?
How would I have made sure it got on the agenda because it didn't?
I didn't get that. How do you make a motion, propose a motion?
Yeah, I thought I did.
How
but it didn't work.
Normally, your best bet is to email me the motion.
I thought I did. Okay. Next time. I'll try it again.
Okay, thank you. Thank you. Grace, then Polina.
Okay. It's in Robert's rules that motions coming out of committee do not need to be seconded because they were approved by several LSV members on the committee. So there's no second needed if the motion comes out of a committee.
Thank you. Good. Polina, and then Barbara.
Nancy Perlman sent an email that included you, Chair, and I sent a further email seconding the proposal, Nancy's proposal, that the item of discussing Spanish language programming or Spanish language bilingual forums on the air and other pertinent issues to the fact that we are a station that transmits in two languages, broadcasts in two languages, would be added to the agenda. You answered me. Yes, and you suggested that I put it as a motion, and in fact, as such a motion was sent to you by email. When would be a good time to have this motion read, discussed, and voted on?
Today.
Yes.
As soon as we get done with these committee reports. Okay? And Barbara, Bella, you've had too much time in this committee. relaxed.
I just want to say, from our practice from before, that's why we have a governance committee meeting. All the committees should put their motions to the governance committee that develops the agenda with the items that are supposed to be talked about, so we don't spend our 20 minutes right now trying to clear this up. Can we please have committee people submit their motions to the governance committee so it could be approved in our agenda?
Thank you. Bella, I'm not going to recognize you. That's my ruling. You're not going to be recognized.
I have a point of information.
No, I'm not interested. Jamie?
I'm not interested.
I'm censoring you. I'm censoring you. You can mark it down. If anybody objects to me censoring Bella, you can challenge a ruling of the chair. I'm censoring you. Be quiet for like half an hour. Jamie?
I was involved in some of those emails also suggesting that we discuss the Spanish language program. And Nancy, what I would suggest is that, and I missed this too because I had suggested that we have a discussion about Spanish language programming today, but we approved the agenda with no objection, and it wasn't on the agenda.
So next time.
Next time when we approve the agenda, I think that's really the time to make sure that it's on there.
Okay, I didn't know the procedure. Next time.
Okay, good point. And anybody else on? This is we're talking about my thing about how do you get a motion on the floor. And I want to put another thing is, we want to get through these committee reports in about 5 minutes or less. And I think we're going to postpone public comment so because we can have our executive director speak and then have public comment. So let's go on with the next committee meeting. Next committee report is fundraising. Rob Macon, he just handed out a document.
Although it wasn't like a packed meeting, but we covered a lot of grounds. And I want to thank Bella and Alan Beek was there. Annielle was there as well, and Alexandria. Annielle came up with the ideal of peer-to-peer fundraising. This is an innovative concept to appeal to the KPFK donors. Personal donations. And Alexandria, she mentioned the template for the annual fundraising plan. She knows how to draft grants, and that's what she'll be working on. I came up with an ideal campaign. It's called the Changing Direction Campaign. This is a challenge for the committee to raise $3.5 million in 4 months. And I'll just give an example of some of the things that we'll be doing to probably possibly be doing that. Okay, if you look at this, this is like 86 superintendents for the schools. About 86. And their addresses and everything in there. Okay, so I spoke to Annielle about doing a program for KPFK, KPFK goes to school, and what this does, it contacts these superintendents and invites the students to come to the studio and put together a program to talk about their school and academics and things like that. So if you got one student on the air, of course, the whole school going to be listening. The parents going to be listening. The principal is going to be listening. And other schools as well is going to be paying attention to what it's talking about. So you invite each school to come in. And let me just give you an example of how it's able to raise money. This is, I clipped this out of the paper. It says, donors give $1 million to Cerrito College. So that shows you that there's money out there. We just need to find it, work on it, and how to get to it. So back here, these parents, they support their kids in sports and things like that. So that's where this will be coming in. We'll be inviting the students to come in to talk about their schools And basically, it's to bring them together and do different fundraisings with all the school people in the school district. So that's basically what we had discussed.
Alan Beek,
he wasn't able to, because the thing there was that there was a lot of good information, and everybody was sharing the information, so we weren't able to get around to it. And I had to apologize to him. So, like you said, so I promised him that the next meeting. He'll be at the top of the list to talk about his ideas and how to raise money. So there's a lot of good ideas out there right now.
You can mention them. Can you mention his ideas? Because they're in
I don't have them.
Yeah, I sent them to you. Okay.
If
I may, because they're important. When are you going
to? Yeah, so.
Now let's stop interrupting.
So that he'll be able to implement his ideas. So there was a lot of good ideas and information, and the people were excited about it, the people who were there. So what we want to do, I want to work on that and build that up, that excitement up, and get things going. And we'll start having some successful fundraisers. Like I said, we're coming up with some ideas to raise $3.5 million in 4 months. So.
Okay, thank you. Yeah. It's an excellent report. Thank I'm going to open up the floor to any questions to Rob Macon about fundraising. Polina.
Rob, thank you for the report. I'm wondering whether the fundraising committee has been in touch with management about fundraising events that management is already sponsoring. For instance, there's an event on June 30th that Spanish language programmers are organizing to raise funds and raise awareness and our visibility and presence in the community, and also to raise awareness of public health crises in our community right now. This is on the KPFK webpage. The management is aware. I was wondering whether you, as a committee, are taking into account these initiatives and seeing how they can be amplified and supported.
Right. This is relatively new.
Yeah. Right.
So, yeah, mm-hmm. we'll be start looking into these things, and I will be talking to Anya. He promised that he'll be working close with us. And trying to come up with some ideas as well. Mm-hmm.
Okay, Bella, I'll recognize you. Wait, first, Kiana.
Hi, thank you.
Use the mic.
Hi, Polina, thank you for bringing that up. I've been made aware of that event, and Danielle asked me to put together a team to help you, it was really Ruben Tapia who he told me about, so... We just finished the Tom Hartman talk last night, so I'll be in touch with Ruben this week. So I'll CC you in on the emails.
Okay, I'm going to interject here. Could you give us the committee a brief report about the numbers on the Tom Hartman event? How many people attended? Do you have an idea?
So I haven't gone back to get a final count.
Approximately
around. I'd say 160, 180.
What is 160, 180?
Bella, do not interrupt or ask questions indirectly. You can speak to the chair. Go ahead.
We had about 160 to 180 people attend.
Okay. Thank you. Okay, Bella, if it's a question for Rob, that's it. Just a question.
You asked a question.
Thank you. Go ahead. Ask your question.
How much was it raised? Rob, this information that just came up, which is a new event for the 30th, it's something that we were not able to get on board with because we did not know about it. We just learned about it. But like you said, we're good. But I wanted to inject what Alan Beek's collaboration is that the GM has been responding to the comments line for quite a while, but nobody knew. We did not know because the comments are KPFK was moribund for quite a while, and no one was attending.
Okay, thank you, Bella. That's not a question.
And
you're giving a notice to the public and to the committee.
And
that's
Alan
not
Beek,
what you're doing.
And
stop
Alan
it.
Beek,
I'm censoring you again. You cannot just take the floor on your own initiative. We have an agenda. You're not asking a question of the fundraising committee. You're making statements. Cut it out.
I am in the fundraising committee. I am the secretary.
Thank you.
If I have anything to add, I should be allowed to add it.
But
that's
at this point,
the agenda.
Okay, at this point you said you were going to ask a question.
No, the question was for her, how much was raised at the Tom Horgan.
Okay, you want to make an announcement?
No, you have interrupted me filling in the information from the fundraising committee.
Well, your first statement was it didn't occur in the fundraising committee.
We're out of time.
Okay, we're out of time. Thank you. We're out of time. Thank you, Rob. Very good report.
Thank you.
And we'll move forward.
The Program Oversight Committee?
Yes, Program Oversight Committee is next. Now, Michael, let's see if we can get somebody here to represent this. Who's on the committee besides you?
I can represent it, but I don't see why not.
I'd like to be able to record it.
Yeah, he wants to record it. And let me take this mic 1 second. Let's try it. Go ahead.
Let me hold it.
What we have on the agenda, Michael, is your motion. And I'll read that out loud if you'd like. Oh, well, we're just going to put the motion up for debate and vote. Do you have anything else you want to add?
I want to motivate the motion. Read the motion, and I'll speak to it briefly.
Okay, great. The motion is resolved that the annual program evaluation process at KPFK shall include A, self-evaluation, B, peer evaluation, C, listener evaluation, and D, management evaluation. That's the motion. You go ahead and motivate it.
This doesn't speak to what the criteria are. It doesn't speak to any previous P&D motions about what the basis of evaluating programs are as far as their fundraising ability and so on. It's about the process of evaluation. And the process of evaluation, we believe, should include self-evaluation. The programs themselves need to be engaged in the process of evaluating their own productions. And so I think that's important. We think that the process of evaluation should include listener evaluation. It doesn't specify how, whether that's a program advisory council that one of the program directors had, or an interim program council, or focus groups, or surveys. It doesn't specify any of that, but it specifies that the evaluation process should include listener input on evaluation. So the listeners are thinking about how to improve the shows. It says that it should include peer evaluation. In other words, there are other producers, other people in the production department, paid and unpaid, who can offer constructive criticism and helpful advice to programs about how to improve their programming, as well as management evaluation. Program evaluation should not be explicitly and exclusively prerogative of management. That's the point of the motion, that all the other aspects should be included in the process of evaluating and improving the programming.
Great, thank you.
Is that clear enough to everybody?
Okay, thank you.
What was his question?
No, you're motivating the motion. Let's take, Michael is one more for and two against.
There's 5 minutes left in this segment.
What?
5 minutes left in the segment.
Great, thank you. So anybody opposed to Michael's motion? The Programming Oversight Committee's motion.
Can you make
Grace?
You may lose the call if you hold it that way. Please.
Okay. Grace, go ahead.
Okay. I think this motion causes too much bureaucracy for the station, also exceeds the authority of the LSB to impose this type of bureaucracy on the station, I believe. And there is also current policy about how programs should be evaluated and the evaluation process that was passed by the Pacifica National Board in 2017. That is Pacifica policy. And some of this is included in the Pacifica policy, but this is also, there's no specification as to how this would be implemented. So I think that I think that this adds just too much bureaucracy to the program oversight policy, and I think it would be confusing to the program director to try to figure out how this goes with the already established Pacifica policy regarding program evaluation.
Thank you. Anybody else for? Polina?
Lawrence, would you like to motivate or should... yes?
Speak in favor.
Speak in favor, okay.
So put it on the mic.
One second, Lawrence.
Right here.
Yeah, right there.
Oh, right here.
Go ahead, Lawrence.
Thank you. I'll be calling from Apache Nation, the U.S. And what I'd like to say is that it's not okay for the PMB to impose a blanket evaluation program, and yet on a local level, where listeners are involved, and when listeners are listening to the product of a radio station, which is programming, they get turned off and they disappear as we are losing listeners throughout the network, and especially the KPFK. So for the PNB to impose blanket evaluation process, quote, a new bureaucracy on the station, and yet for listeners and for those people who are listening,
okay, Mike. Lawrence, I have to interrupt you. We're running out of time. We've got to go to a vote.
Lawrence.
Anybody else against this motion?
Right over here.
Yeah. Okay, Jamie.
So I think Grace's points are well taken about the creating a bureaucracy. But what I wanted to bring up was that in the past, when the local station board attempted to advise our general manager and program director on programming decisions, it was pointed out that I'm sorry, that phone just threw me off there. But it was pointed out that really we're overstepping our authority here. The local station board does not have the authority to tell station management how to do their job. However, we can advise station management that these are programming decisions that we would like to be made. And in the case of our former general manager, who decided not to follow the local station board's advice on certain programming decisions, that general manager was eventually replaced. But so far as the day-to-day actions of management go, I think that we would be overstepping our authority to tell station management that you need to do things a certain way.
Okay, thank you. So we had 2-4 and 2 against. Now we're going to vote. So the vote for yes would be to point of information. Go ahead.
I'm curious, what is this. The way to say, can we postpone?
Would you say that again through the mic?
Sorry. How can we postpone? Do we have to have the motion and vote on it, or can we postpone the motion, have a motion to postpone the motion? My comment is simply, originally I was for it. I've listened to the discussion. I've heard that there's a policy. I don't know what that policy is, so now I'm opposed to it until I hear the policy.
Well,
so,
the policy was distributed with the...
No, that's the...
Oh, this policy.
No, the one that was referred to.
The PNB policy, yeah.
The 2017 policy.
I need it.
I can't compare. I'll just abstain because I've gone both ways. I've heard it. Now I've heard discussion that there's already a policy. I haven't heard that policy, so I don't know how.
Okay. Well, technically, the only thing we could do is you can make a motion to table this till the next meeting, and we would vote on that, and that's all that could happen. And since you have the floor, you'd have to do it right now. If you want to ask us to postpone the vote on this. You can do it now because we're about to vote.
I just want to let the LSB know we're over time on this.
We're over time.
So time's up, so we're going to vote. Let's vote on this. Yes is...
Point of time.
Yes is...
Because
of, to approve this motion...
Point of information.
Bella, it better be a point of information.
Yes.
Go ahead.
Could you... Lawrence Reyes could not be heard properly, and he said that...
Okay, thank you. That's not a point of information. You're making a decision.
I am asking you a question now.
What's the question?
Could you explain to the board what Lawrence was trying to convey?
No, I can't.
I heard him clearly. Everybody else did as well.
That's right.
Sorry for interrupting.
Thank you. Okay. All right, let's go to the vote. The vote is to approve this motion.
Chair, I heard a motion to lay on the table.
No, nobody's laying on the table.
I heard a motion to lay on the table.
You're not a member of the board.
She withdrew the motion. She didn't make the motion. You can look at her and ask her.
But I withdrew it.
Okay, I'm going to read it real fast. Resolved that the annual program evaluation process at KPFK include A, self-evaluation, B, peer evaluation, C, listener evaluation, and D, management evaluation. Voting.
Okay. All those in favor?
Raise your hands.
One, two, three, four. Michael, you're in favor?
I can't vote in favor, yes.
Lawrence, are you in favor?
Yes.
Okay. So, one, two, three, four, five, six, seven.
Did you miss Ressa? Once again, you missed
me. One, two, three, four, five, six, seven, eight. All those opposed? One, two, three, four, five, six, seven, eight, nine.
Included Mansour.
Yes, I got Mansour.
Chair.
Abstained.
Abstained?
No.
Anybody abstained?
All those abstaining?
Nancy.
Two. Rob also. Chair.
Okay.
I want to be recognized.
We can recognize, but I made a decision too. After we're finished with this, we're going to move on to Maxie Jackson's presentation and move that up in the agenda, and then we'll continue with the agenda after that.
That would be an agenda amendment.
It's an agenda amendment.
Require a two-thirds vote?
Yeah, you're correct. So, Mansour, do you have a statement?
Yes. Sorry for the delay. I went to Pasadena to record an event. I get there. They told me, I didn't know you wanted to record the event, so they told me, no, thank you. So I drove all the way back here to...
Okay, great.
That's
what you wanted to state?
Yeah.
Thank you. Okay, so I'm moving to change the agenda.
Lawrence has a point of information.
Can you put it at the mic? Because I can't hear well.
Okay, ask again, Lawrence.
Yeah, when are the PNB directors' reports still on the agenda?
Oh, when? At the end. Yes,
before the last public comment.
Okay, Grace, before we go to a vote on the agenda. Thank you. Okay. Bella, lower your voice. Grace?
I move that we move up to number five on the agenda now and continue with the number three and four and two, three, and four after our executive director's speaks to us.
Okay, anybody second that? Barbara? Second it? Okay, any objection to modifying the agenda? There's no objection to modifying the agenda. It's unanimous. That exceeds two-thirds.
I object.
You're missing your opportunity. I'm marking you down for just being disruptive. I asked if there was any objection. You did not respond. You don't even know what I'm objecting to, or what I'm asking for.
To amend the agenda.
Yeah, so why didn't you object when I asked if there were objections?
I was on the phone with Lawrence.
Okay, well, it's too bad. You missed your opportunity. That's it. So we're passed. We have two-thirds approval for modifying the agenda.
I,
I'm sorry, I can't.
She withdraws her objection.
I object. I object.
My objection. I have no idea.
You may need to move.
Move what? Oh, to yeah, put it higher. Okay.
Okay. And you may need to.
Yeah. Yeah. I got it.
Let me see. Move your laptop a little bit closer to.
Oh, closer.
Okay, did you find this presentation?
Yeah, let me see if it'll run.
Where is my phone? Oh, he's still on, right? He's still on, right? Okay, good. Leave that right there.
Okay. 1 second. Download, there we go. Oh, I have to, now this is the trick. I've got to get this to go over to your screen, right? I'm not sure. I've done this before, but I'm not sure where it is here. It's somewhere here. Well, if we shut the lights, is it going to work better?
Whatever works best for you. How do you want the executive director to do the presentation?
Are you going to have him sit here in your chair?
I'm going to try and see how I can switch this
over. It's on.
Oh, it is?
Yeah, yeah. What you need to do is put it in the mode that allows it to be the screen.
To do what?
Screen. Put it in full screen mode.
Okay, wait a minute. This
no,
one?
What he wants to do is, this is PowerPoint, this you want to go into a slideshow.
Yeah. Where do I do that? Yeah. You know how it is.
See the little screen at the bottom? Here. Yeah.
Hit this button right there.
No, with your mouse.
Oh,
is there a touch screen? I got it.
Oh, no, I got it. This button?
Yeah.
Sorry.
Did you unplug your laptop?
Right now.
Yeah.
Did your laptop have enough battery power?
Yeah.
Okay.
It's okay?
Yeah. So,
I can control this?
Okay.
Can I control this?
Turn it around.
Here.
Make sure it's not
Oops, sorry. Is this full screen?
That's
yeah.
Screen.
Okay, all right. So,
okay, ladies and gentlemen, allow me to introduce Maxie Jackson III,
he's the
Pacifica Foundation Executive
right.
Director.
You can go back to space. Okay, yeah. Right. You got
come on, go like this, Maxie.
Sorry, what time?
So you're going to stand out here?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I want to make sure everybody
can see. It's pulling back away from the mic because it's very difficult to understand what's happening.
What is it, Michael?
That'd
be good if you did. What is it, Michael? Okay, hold it. I've got the phone here. Your phone here is at the front. Maxie Jackson is going to make his public report in a few moments, so you'll have a front seat.
Okay, thank you.
So I'm just setting the phone down here, and I hope you can hear.
Okay.
No, I'm saying I'm good no matter what you want to do.
Okay, great. So I appreciate the public attendance. The public has originated that they don't like being knocked off extemporaneously. So he doesn't mind.
Yes, come on.
So everybody's happy.
You need to take another vote, Ken.
Thank you.
You need to rescind what you just voted for.
Thank you.
And
vote it. Thank you. So we're going to do the public comment right now. Turn the lights on.
But he needs to take a vote.
Everybody quiet. Are there any objections to doing a public comment first? Quiet! Are there any objections to doing public comment before the ED? Not good.
See? Just done. Okay.
And we're 90 seconds.
Whoops.
Oh, no, leave them off.
So we got 10 minutes for public comments. Let's use this mic here.
Okay, who's up? This mic?
Shit. Don't give it.
Public comment. People, please come up. Form a line.
Okay.
Thank you.
I'm reading because it's faster. I've been asked several times over the past couple of years. Oh, my name is Lita Shakura. I've been asked several times over the past couple of years to run for this board. I've considered it because I felt my financial expertise was much needed, and I value KPFK and Pacifica, especially in these times. So I seriously considered it. It has taken me much of the last couple years to get any idea of their financial picture. Financial reports have been incomplete and inconsistent, and when I attempted to get clarification, there was little in the way of answers. I recognize that managing a nonprofit's day-to-day finances is an organization's senior management job, but the board of directors has ultimate responsibility for overseeing financial affairs. And this is a really important duty, financial oversight, and that is why I'm here today. I attended a couple of finance meetings expecting, and it won't be done in 30 seconds, expecting this kind of insight, oversight, and in the hope that my expertise would be of help. All suggestions and questions I asked were ignored, and little was available in the way of financial reporting. Much of the meeting instead spent about talking of ways to raise money and how to do better programming. I was only available to attend twice since Wednesday's, the one day I can't do anything. We have all been told it will get better, maybe even financial reports, but even current financial reports have been incomplete and inconsistent. And there is neither a balance sheet nor any analysis of budget to actual variances, not to mention the much needed cash flow projections. In addition, the outsourcing of much of the accounting only perpetuates the lack of formal, normal accounting practices and controls. And until recently, I've not had time to review the past audits, though I did listen to one audit report online.
2 minutes?
The audit report of 2016.
Pardon me, public, we really abide by the 90 seconds.
He's giving me his time.
You can continue.
No, he's giving
me
his
time. I'm next, then I'm ceding my time.
Sure, go ahead.
The audit report of 2016 was what is called a qualified audit. The auditors made it clear that the 2017 audit will have the same issues, and it is my opinion that the most important note that they made is that there is substantial doubt about the entity's ability to continue as an ongoing concern. Additionally, it appears, quote, that certain of the loan covenants will be difficult, if not impossible, to be complied with. It is interesting to note that even before the current loan existed, the audit of 2015 also had the note that there was substantial doubt about the entity's ability to continue as a going concern. I am very concerned about KPFK and Pacifica. Given that we are out of compliance on the loan for both 2017 and 2018 audits, this question comes to mind. Who would lend to an organization with qualified audits that appears unlikely to meet its obligations? I'm curious why they did this and who is this lender. As you can see, I think that KPFK and Pacifica are headed toward insolvency. I am hoping that some of you will see this as a red flag and take the time and effort needed to produce a strategy to turn this around, to not ignore it, and to be transparent in the process. If you want to talk to me about this, I'm available to discuss after the meeting.
Thank you. Next. Kim
Cobb. Okay, I'm going to talk about Fred's finance report. Obviously, you didn't read what I reported on the last finance committee meeting, because anybody that looks at either one of those profit and losses and sees $13,000 in the bank, you cannot take seriously the P&L that says there's a $224,000 surplus, or, as the ICFO reported, a $90,000 deficit. It just doesn't make sense. I don't know why you're repeating that, Fred, without reading what I've said, because I've corrected for all the errors, and what's missing is also a $125,000 pension payment, which nobody is even reporting, but it got spent this year.
1 minute.
Your own numbers in your report don't add up. One place you say the May per day was blank, and the next place you say the May per day was another number. I mean, all of your numbers for this year are wrong. or at least they don't match my numbers. There are places to get good numbers. In 3.5 years, this board has not figured out how to get correct numbers. They've never been correct. Any reports here?
Please put mic to your mouth so we can hear.
You can't hear? You can't hear?
I'm hard of hearing. I'm sorry.
20 seconds?
The percentage numbers need to have numbers to back them up so people can check them because they're meaningless. Okay. The arbitrary rules that this chair has been laying out today where suddenly the agenda is not debatable. I mean, that's absurd. And you should all... Is that my time?
Yeah, that was 2 minutes.
You should all be, objecting to that.
Thank you for your comments.
Everybody, please put the mic to your mouth. Some of us are hard of hearing.
Nancy, please.
Good afternoon. I am Robert Payne. I am attempting to run for the board, and I'm having extreme difficulty with the electronic format of the website and the fill in the slots, the passwords, etc. I am struggling forward with that. I intend to succeed. When I do, I hope that I can receive the automated signatures required. As you can see by my behavior here, I am a very calm person. I am not obedient to any faction. I will consider all statements, all reports in a intellectual fashion and comment as required. Please cooperate with me when I need your signatures. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Our next speaker.
Hi, I'm Nancy Lawrence. I have spoke here before. I'm not running for the board. Maybe one day I will. I'm also concerned about everything becoming automated. But I also come here to speak about some of the programming. You got Stephanie Miller on at the 6 o'clock hour that Amy Goodman used to be on. And it's fine that we have Amy Goodman on 8. I think that was a good decision. But Stephanie Miller, we need programming that deals with the real. Everything is about Trump. Well, what about the system that created Trump? Why don't we have more grassroots programming, people who, maybe local people who are being trained, young people, whose futures are concerned. They're out there concerned about police brutality, about climate change. Why don't we have programmers, you know, one day, maybe Monday, we have one programmer and one, you know, about dealing with one thing, and then another program Tuesday morning at 6, another program, and then we can maybe even have Stephanie Miller on one of those days. But please, let's have a more variety of programs.
1 minute.
Thank you. That's all I want to say for now.
Thank you.
This would be our last public comment for our 8-minute slot.
I'd like to take the time to thank my man here for making an effort to raise the money in 4 months to take care of business and pay the money that Pacifica owes to the creditors, to the bankers. Thank you very much, sir. We appreciate it. If there's anything I can do to help, please let me know. In the question of the upcoming vote on the review, I'd like to say the following. Peer review is practiced around the world by self-respecting academics and scientists. I think Pacifica Radio should also practice that. It's very healthy. In terms of management doing their job and supervising and evaluating, they should be doing it already. But quoting our very own Maxie Jackson here, when you look out in the community to see what they want to hear, it is important that the stakeholders, the residents of the state of California, have a say on this evaluation. Please do so. Thank you.
Thank you. Okay, that's the close of public comment. We'll have another public comment session a little bit later. Maxie? Okay. Let someone else do it.
Got it? Yeah. All out. I don't think we need them all out.
Leave one on.
Can you just do the top one? Yeah, that's perfect.
Hello. Let me know when you're ready.
Sure. How's everybody doing?
Hey, Max, you want to take a mic?
Oh, do I need one?
Yes.
Take this one?
Recorded.
Sure, no problem.
All right. Thanks. So I'm the comedy relief for this hostile environment.
I'm ready.
You are? Okay. Well, let me qualify a few things up front. My main reason for being here is not for this presentation that you're about to see. When I reached out to the LSB and the Community Advisory Board for KPFK, it was so that I could meet with you informally, not a formal meeting, but an informal meeting, to discuss the roles of the Community Advisory Board and the Local Station Board as it relates to KPFK. So immediately following this meeting, the formal meeting, if the members of the LSB want to stick around and chat with me about Local Station Board work relative to KPFK and Pacifica, I'm going to be here, and that's my primary reason for being here. I met earlier with members of the Community Advisory Board. That was very productive, even though there was only two people there. It was useful because I'm sure they'll spread the gospel. And I'm doing that tour around the entire network. I've already met with the folks at WBAI in New York, in Berkeley with KPFA. I'm here now to do the same with the folks here at KPFK. So I just wanted to set that stage first to let you know that while I'm appreciative of the time to present what I'm going to present, my real value this weekend is to meet with you individually, as a collective, LSB and CAB, informally. Okay? All right. So what I wanted to do, I was asked if I wanted to speak during this presentation, I said, what do you want me to talk about? And so some questions were brought forward for me to address, and so I'm going to do that to some degree. Not all of them, and not in the detail I'm sure people would want, but I'm going to try to provide some understanding of things. People are always asking about this loan. We are not at liberty to tell you who the loan's from. It's confidential per the loaner. The lender made it very clear that as a stipulation, their name should be left confidential, with the exception being when we're meeting about it with our board itself. So that's why you're not going to see the name or hear me articulate the name of the lender. But this is the breakdown of it, and this is available in the summary that is something that we're allowed to post publicly per the lender. So there's nothing unusual here. $3.7 million is the loan. It's a three-year note, started in April of 2018. The value in terms of the payoffs has allowed us to address debt, liens, pension liabilities, and a few other issues. So that's what came off the books immediately upon getting that loan. The funding that it also created was towards interest reserve. I'll speak to that in just a second. Loan fees and working capital, okay? The interest reserve itself accounts for the first 18 months, and we are nearing the end of that. And what that did was give us basically a grace period to pay the interest, develop a plan, and address the loan once we got past that phase. The reason I put September-October is it's a variable based on the interest rate of the loan. The question is, do we have enough left in the interest reserve to go to October, or will it not get us past September? And then we'll have to begin paying outside of the interest reserve. The monthly nut, if you will, that we're expected to pay is somewhere in the $21,000 to $24,000 range per station. Across the network. Forgive me. That breaks down to $4,000 to $5,000 per station. As you can see, there's some concern that we're not in a position to handle that. Our East Coast stations barely, if at all, are being in a position to pay central services. So this notion that they're going to be able to handle a $4,000 to $5,000 per month payment towards the loan is seriously in question. There's no plan defined by the national board at this point. Okay, so that's the deal with
the loan. That's the question was. That's what the information requested was. In March and May of this year, there were two separate conversations with an organization that I'm not going to name that serves as a consultancy, if you will, actually helped us get the initial loan to determine how we could devise a strategy to pay back this loan. And the first conversation, which yielded a report from this consultancy in March, we addressed a number of areas that we thought might be viable to pay this loan off. It ended up boiling down from them to four options. You see them on the left. The sale of assets, station signal swaps, capital campaign self-financing, and tax-exempt bond financing. The bottom three, bottom two, I should say, were scratched by the consultancy themselves. They said the tax-exempt bond financing, you have to have impeccable credit. We do not. So it's highly likely we'll get that. Highly unlikely. The capital campaigns and self-financing, they remove because they don't do that kind of work. It could be done, but it just wouldn't be done with their assistance. Station signal swaps, no station in particular was targeted here. I want to be very clear about that. When this conversation was had by myself and the past chair of the board with this consultancy, no station in particular was targeted as a swap potential. We wanted them to review all the stations and look at viability of swaps. I think swaps get a bad name in our Pacifica family because I think for the most part people don't know what that really means.
Please define it.
Well, yeah, I will. The key is this, and there are plenty of successful swaps that happen all around the country. A swap just simply means that you trade signals, dial position on the radio, your signal, and in some cases you get cash on top of that. Sometimes you trade one signal for multiple signals. So there's a lot of variables involved, but it's a trade, if you will, of assets, the signal, for either money and or the other signal. So you're swapping with another station.
Not necessarily a Pacifica station.
No, clearly not, no.
A commercial
station or a non-commercial. And you're simply swapping. Now, people say, well, that's terrible. We would never want to give up our dial position. Here's the argument for why that's not such a bad idea. Again, I'm not advocating for this. I'm just giving you reasons why it was a viable solution per the consultant. Okay? The station in New York, WBAI, has lost 80% of its audience over the last 10 years. They went from 500,000 weekly listeners to 100,000 in 10 years. So who are you preserving the signal, the dial position for, if 80% of the listenership is gone? Now, we know every one of the Pacifica stations has lost audience, so that question can be asked across the board. And how really important is it for 90.7 to be where Pacifica is, if you can get a different signal and a bunch of cash? I'm not saying this, again, is the target. None of the stations have been specifically outlined as the target. Now, it is true that in 2017, there was an analysis of a couple options with respect to swaps. They were not attractive, according to the board, and so they refused them. That makes sense. They didn't see it being of value, so they declined the opportunity. The issue, though, with swaps is that it is very fluid. And so what may have only been worth a little bit 2 years ago could be worth a lot now. And so the question is, do we assert an understanding of what swap opportunities might avail to all five properties? The last one, sale of assets, is one that I think nobody is interested in, quite frankly. I know I'm not as the executive director, but it's not my call. And so far, I think this is a taboo. This is the third rail. Okay, so nobody's really, I think, considering a sale of a station. I think Pacifica, this is my opinion, would be short-sighted to think because of poor management, poor governance in D.C. or New York, that those stations should be sold. Okay? There's all kinds of evidence that you can turn a station around in a very short window of time if you put the proper management, best practices in place, and great governance. So, that's the deal. That's what the first discussion was about with the Pacifica National Board of 2018.
The issue is, once we got this report, the chair decided not to make that information even available to the board for consideration. So it never was voted upon, never considered.
We are now with the Pacifica National Board of 2019.
Your chair is Grace Aaron. She and I had a conference call with the consultant. As a result of that call, Grace, if I may, suggested that they focus on refinancing the loan. So that's the option that's on the table right now for consideration. That's where we are. That's the scope of the consultancy conversations to this point.
Are you able to refinance a loan when you have lousy credit?
Apparently so. we're exploring. We'll find out. Right. I mean, at the end of the day, all of this is to be determined, and we're going to do the due diligence, hopefully, to find out what the options are.
About the signal swap, would that also require a vote by the whole membership of
I believe so. I believe so. But again, here's the key. What I think, and again, I've only been a part of Pacifica for 9 months, but what I find often the case is we are involved in emotion, passion, and desire-oriented questions or decision-making. There's not enough information so that we can apply rational intelligence and logic to the question. I think all too much we are focused on what we're losing versus what we can gain. And so what I would argue is whether this goes to a vote or not, it needs to be a fully informed element so that the vote is an informed decision.
Okay? So since October 2018, a few things have happened that have at least increased our financial picture. Okay? First and foremost, Democracy Now! Excused $2.3 million in debt. Okay? When I went to New York and visited with them, what they told me is this. They said, in October of 2018, our board got together and decided to excuse the debt for two reasons. In honor of new leadership at Pacifica and their ongoing support of community radio. Those are the two reasons they gave me for their decision. Go ahead.
Just to educate that $2.3 million is nothing compared to what Democracy Now! Has charged.
Nobody questions
the Pacifica,
that.
Which was illegal for many years.
I won't refute or debate that.
Yeah, but people don't know that.
Well, that's fine. All I wanted to do is give you the raw numbers. That $2.3 million is what was excused, written off of our books, thanks to Democracy Now! Your argument holds, okay? The only new leadership in October was myself, okay? It wasn't a change of the board. That happened 6 months earlier. Okay? So, two reasons given. New leadership and ongoing support of community radio. Just so you know, I used to serve as executive director for the National Federation of Community Broadcasters. I go way back with Democracy Now! I'm not new, and I've spent 20 years in this industry. So they have a reputation with me. They know me. And you should also know that prior to coming here, I was able to get $1.3 million from CPB to rescue NFCB from bankruptcy. So this is a situation where they understood and invested in NFCB because, again, they appreciated my reputation, the work I had done in the field, and honored that. So I say these things because it's important that you know that these kind of excusing of debt or funding of organizations that are in trouble is a relationship-based situation often. They're putting the trust in the leadership. And what is clearly an evidentiary issue with Pacifica is the revolving door at the ED level and with the boards even. The fact that we change boards every year to some degree is of concern. Okay. The other thing we've done is we became members of Greater Public. That's important because Greater Public in the public media industry is considered the authority on revenue centers. What I mean by that, individual giving, membership, pledge drives, best practices, major donor support, cultivation, foundation support. They are the organization that studies the field and reports back the best practices in all those areas. They're not giving a philosophy. They're telling you what's working, okay? So when we go with our membership teams, with our general managers, and take advantage of the tools at Greater Public, it's so that they can be informed of what's working in the field. And so we now have access to that, okay? Another thing that's happened is that we, with the assistance of Grace Aaron and myself, worked on a new contract with NETA. NETA was part of Pacifica before I got there, doing financial management and accounting work and working on our audits. Grace and I negotiated a contract in January to increase their work for the organization. And so this breakdown on the screen tells you exactly what they're doing at the different levels of operation. Okay, so some stations have them doing all their books. There was a statement by someone in the audience from the community about the concerns of our financials. What I will tell you emphatically is our financials for the first time in years are going to be reliable. No, and I'm serious. They're going to be reliable. There's a couple factors that you should know. Okay? We're talking about industry standard financial management and accounting. Okay, this is an organization that does it across the industry for a lot of different dual licensees and radio stations and TV stations. They apply best practices in accounting and financial management, and we are now going to be beneficiaries of those things, because what has happened at all of our properties, including the national office, is for many, many years we have operated without financial management and accounting best practices. It's why our books are so screwed up. It's why we couldn't do audits for so many years, because we don't have good systems in place. That's changing. Not only are they correcting our books, moving us forward and firming up our audits, and we'll complete the FY18 audits by July of this year, but they're also training our staff, the business managers that we have, on financial best practices, financial management best practices. So things will be better. I can't promise that they'll be perfect, but they're going to be much better than where they were over the last 5, 10, 15 years. Okay? Someone asked me, by the way. Go ahead. You have a question.
Just like Kim, I'm on the finance committee, and I know what's been going on for so many years. Yes, we have not had proper, even not forget being accurate.
Yeah.
Just getting the financial statements,
yeah.
Meaning balance sheet and P&L.
Uh-huh.
But today, since NETA has taken, or NETA has taken over, there have been a number of errors, unacceptable, given that they promote themselves as the specialists, the professionals, including hiring someone on an interim basis for CFO position for a short term. I find it very difficult if this person is going to compile the necessary information in a short amount of time, given that we have a disconnect between the income coming in and the rest of the accounting system.
Yeah. Well, let me just say this. I'm going to, in some respects, speak around what you're saying. What's going to happen for the first time in years, both on the financial management side and now on the programming audience side, is that our local station boards are going to be given monthly, quarterly, and annual reports. Monthly, quarterly, and annual financial reports.
It's including ambitious.
It's not even ambitious. It's normal.
It should be.
No, it is normal, and we're working with an organization that will set normal up for us. And so the normal, proper financial management and audience accounting, if you will be made. And so on a monthly basis, the members of this organization we'll be able to know how we're performing from an audience standpoint. We're going to publish dashboards, which give the key financial indicators and the important audience data on a monthly, quarterly, and annual basis. That has not happened.
No.
And that's why you're running around asking, what is the current financials? Nobody has gotten... I hear this at every station I go to. The general managers don't talk to us. The PDs don't talk to us. That's going to be a mandatory report published on a monthly basis, both on the programming side with audience and on the financial side with your audience numbers. With your financial data. Okay? So that's coming. And it should begin once we finish with the audit. So I believe At the latest August, you'll start to see these regularly presented as part of our reporting.
That's what I don't think.
Well, we can't do it before then. And here's why you haven't seen anything before then. Let me just address this.
No, not before then.
Maxie, please don't center on one order.
That's fine. And I'm speaking broadly, but I'm trying to at least. where was my train of thought?
So that's
by August.
The monthly reports.
Unrealistic by August.
No. The reason why you have not seen reports to this point, and so when you talk about inaccuracy, no one's published anything yet. Okay?
No, I understand.
But this is important, because the reason why the data we have at this point has not been made official or formally produced is because there's a continuation of trying to reconcile FY17
right.
So that 18's accurate. So that's why there are no reports. That's why the national office has operated without a budget since I first took over the job. I've never seen a budget. I'm operating blindly financially, which is why I don't hire. Okay? So that's our story. So, again, we're on the move towards getting over this hump, but that's where we are right now.
What month is your deadline?
For which one? For what?
To get over the hump.
The audits will be done in July. That's the goal. That's what we expect.
Summer,
yeah.
Summer.
Okay. And then once that's done, we should expect financial reporting on a regular basis. I put this slide up only, and I don't really need this. I just want you all to know that, you know, and I'm about to address this whole CPB piece. We're part of public media. I know there's people in the room who refute that. They want to say we're community-oriented, we're Pacific, we're different. You're not, okay? In the eyes of CPB, we're all part of public media. So as long as we want funding from CPB, let's stop that narrative. And the reason I think it's important to stop it is because there are vast resources available in the public media ecosystem. That's what Greater Public represents. That's what Public Radio and Program Directors represents. All these best practices that can be applied to our work, and we can still be progressive, are part of the ecosystem that we're in. So I wanted to make sure you understood we're on this spectrum. Yeah, NPR is on there. NFCB is on there. But so is Pacifica. Okay?
Who's NFCB?
NFCB is the National Federation of Community Broadcasters. They're community stations all around the country. They probably, many of them are affiliates to the network. When I used to run NFCB, Pacifica used to come to the conference, have meetings and that kind of thing. So we're all part of the same community radio family, a subset, if you will, of the larger public media ecosystem. So I wanted to address this notion of the CPB CSG, the Community Service Grants. One of the goals that rightfully Grace Aaron has focused the organization on is making sure we're CPB compliant. It's funding that we have not had in many, many years. And the reason we haven't had this money is because we haven't been compliant in a number of areas. You see them listed here. Now, this is from a letter from March of 2013. The tragedy is that we still haven't gotten compliant with this stuff. Now, think about that. 5 years plus, we are still not compliant. Now, we're shoring it up. I think we'll be there very quickly. But the open meetings, financial records, we're good there. We got the technology built so that when people meet, it happens. We do have a station or two that have been delinquent in this area of actually having these meetings posted properly, but that's being rectified. Another thing that we got dinged on is that we overstated our non-federal financial support. That's what NFFS stands for, the tune of $133,000. We still owe that. Grace, you can correct me if I'm wrong on that, but I think we still owe that. Yeah. So that will have to be paid before CPB gives us money. Now, they may say we'll just deduct it from what we give you as a network, but we still owe that. The last one, and we did not maintain the required discrete accounting of CPB CSG monies. So that's rectified as well, because, again, NETA is handling our finances. It's one of the first things they put in place to make sure that we're good there.
Maxie?
Yes.
Just wanted to, for people to know,
that going back to 2016.
Please, don't interrupt the presentation. He's making the presentation, not
this
you.
This is about the CPB.
No, no, let him talk, not you.
Fiscal
you
year.
We'll schedule you for a presentation next
fiscal
month.
Year questions ending 2000.
You can talk to Maxie after the LSB meeting.
The CPB was given Pacifica $1,565,000.
You know, Bella, if you
say, hey, Bella, let me ask you to hold your thoughts. Let me just get through the presentation, then we'll come back. And I, what I'm not going to be able to do is tell you how much we used to get. I know that's where you're headed. I think Grace can probably tell you, or Ken can probably get, maybe some others in the room can tell you what we used to get. What I can tell you is that we're considered one entity, one enterprise. But the payouts are individual. Okay. So listen, another part of our CSG compliance is having functional community advisory boards. Okay, and I met, like I said earlier, with some of the folks who are members of the CAB here. Grace has put forward a mandate across the network, rightfully so, to make sure that every station's community advisory board is operating, that it's reporting its meetings properly, that they're meeting regularly, and that they are constituted. So that has been done. We're good in terms of that aspect. I think maybe there's some issues with one of the stations CAB not notifying its meetings properly. But otherwise, we're good across the network. What I have proposed with Jan Goodman, who obviously is not here today, is a way to make the Community Advisory Board much more robust, reflective of the community, and useful to the station. This is important. For 4 years when I was in Cleveland, before I took this job, I ran the community advisory board. So this model is not my own. It's one I came into, managed for 4 years, and see it as a highly useful approach to community advisory boards. You'll see, and I'll be very brief, this is Washington, D.C. This is what the CAB would look like in Washington, D.C. from a composition standpoint. You've got gender, you've got age, you've got race and ethnicity, reflective of the market that you're serving. You've got geography. So if we cover 8 counties, you've got representatives of all 8 counties. You meet quarterly, and the value proposition of having the community advisory board is not to determine programming. It's not even to evaluate it. Okay? That's not the role of the community advisory board. The role of the community advisory board, when maximized, is to help with ascertainment work. Do we know what I mean by ascertaining? About community engagement? Okay? That's what the real value of your board is. So because of Pacifica, because we're an organization that creates agency for our listeners, we want them to be actively engaged in progressive issues. You could have 6 activists. You got 2 people from nonprofit, 2 people from media, and you go down the list. So you've got this cross-section of people who bring expertise in areas that are relevant to the station to the community advisory board. You've got geographic representation. You've got black, brown, yellow, white. You've got the whole representation ethnically. You have a question?
What is ascertain?
Ascertain. I'm glad you asked. Ascertainment just means to go into the community and engage with them, to listen, to find out what is it that you need, you want, and you aspire to for this to be a community that serves you. It's us doing the due diligence to actually get to know the community in a way that can be reflected in our content.
In the programming.
Beyond programming.
Well, yeah.
In our content, okay? It doesn't mean that every area has to have a show.
No.
It just means that we're informing our programming instrument of how to address these issues in a way that reflects the needs, wants, and aspirations of the community. There's a tactic to community engagement, and we'll talk about that, but let me go to the next screen. This is community engagement. These are the tactics. So let me give you a little history here. The notion of community engagement is not new. Anyone ever heard of the Rich Harwood Institute? The Harwood Institute?
No.
Okay. Richard Harwood is a gentleman who created this institute that defined how organizations within a community could be an asset to help build that community and make it as robust and useful and meaningful to its citizenry as possible. Okay? What came after Richard Harwood is the National Center for Media Engagement, NCME. They were funded by CPB to turn Harwood's work into media work. So how does a media organization become a valuable asset resource to the community? And then that went to the Nine Network, which currently has found a way to quantify the impact of engagement work. But these are the steps you take. I won't go through them all, but basically it's mapping your community. It's defining who are the influentials throughout the community and all the different subsets of our community in the progressive landscape of Canada. And once you do that, you're asking who are the influencers. You again, want to find out the ascertainment. What are the needs, wants, and aspirations of that community? And then design a public service impact strategy. And that could be that our programming is going to better reflect the vast diversity of our community in a way that it may not be doing now. It means we're going to address issues that perhaps we weren't addressing before. But that's what engagement is all about. My belief, and I'm a student of all this, is that engagement is the first step. Programming follows it. Development follows that. So that's the sequence to me. Okay? If you do rigorous, strategic community engagement, it can deeply inform your programming. If you are deeply informed in your programming, you then become more useful to the audience. They find ways to support you through their membership. Foundations see the value in what you're doing, and development increases. That's the trilogy, if you will, of a healthy station as far as I'm concerned. I'm always asked, Content. We got to do better shows, okay? And I'm asked about all kinds of ways that the community should be involved in evaluating programs. We heard some of that today. This is where I disagree with a lot of folks, okay? In my opinion, when you hire a professional program director, you're not hiring somebody who is programming out of common knowledge. You're not hiring someone who's programming because they have intuition. This is someone who understands the art and science of programming, okay? Now, there's a question as to whether Pacifica has hired program directors who reflect that, historically or even up to now. But the bottom line is this. When you hire a legitimate program director, they know how to read data. They know how to analyze that information and make programming decisions that reflect an understanding of the data and the ability to analyze it in a way that then reflects better programming. So, I mentioned that we're going to start doing reports. Our program directors have been flying blind for years. Okay? I just implemented in the last 2 or 3 months, a mandatory, every station has to subscribe to its audience data. Now think about that. These stations for years have operated not knowing how successful their programming is. And so programming decisions in Pacifica have been made based on, does it fundraise well? That's only one tool. They have no idea whether the shows are lined up properly. Do they feed into one another? They have no idea if the show's gotten better in terms of audience year after year. They have no idea. And so programming decisions have been made, I would argue, completely in an incoherent manner across the entire network. It's why our audience numbers are so low. We may have some phenomenal programming. It may be poorly placed on the schedule. We may have some phenomenal producers and shows on our grid that nobody knows because they're scheduled the wrong time of day. We may have shows that would be better sequenced one after the other. They would feed into them organically. We call that block programming. We wouldn't know because we don't have audience data to support that. And so that's changed. All of our stations now not only get basic top-line audience numbers, and that's what you'll see when you get the reports on a monthly, quarterly, and annual basis, but on top of that, they're getting what's called TapScan Web, which allows them to look at each show individually and determine its performance. Okay? Now, I'm not a big advocate or proponent of
patch quilt programming, which is what most Pacifica stations do. I do believe in strict programming. I've seen it work. I know factually that stations that do strict programming outperform patch quilt programming all day, up and down. And that's because when you study user-driven approaches to media creation and consumption, radio is not an appointment listenership situation. You know, I'm not shy to tell you, when I was interviewing for this job, they asked me, what's your favorite Pacifica radio show? I told them, I don't have one. They said, why not? Because I never know what's going to be on when I turn it on. That's not user-driven programming, okay? User-driven programming means that your schedule is reliable, predictable, and consistent. Now, there are times of the day where you can do the patch quilt format. That's fine. But there are also high listenership periods where you should be strict and predictable and reliable. I know that's hard for some of you to swallow as programmers, because you're concentrating on your own program, not understanding how it fits in the context of the larger station. And so what we've got to do is evolve beyond programmers and a programmer-driven approach to a user-driven approach. That's the next step, if you will, in our development. I put this up only because when people ask me about programming, what you don't realize, I used to serve as a senior director of program development for WNYC, the number one public radio station in the country. So I know programming. I've been programming for 20 years. I took a station in Baltimore, doubled its audience, tripled its income in 1 year. I know how to program radio. Okay, I've proven it. I've been awarded for it. I've proven it over years. And what I can tell you, having gone to the Stanford Design School and learning how to design programming, that you can't just make shows, okay? It's actually a science to it, okay? This notion that you can just come off the street and create a program and know what the hell you're doing is ridiculous, okay? It's like going to the hospital and the nurse treats you real well and you want to promote that nurse to be a doctor. It doesn't work like that.
This is a skill set that is designed. People learn this stuff. They go to school for it. They get trained formally for it. They go to conferences. They read material to get better at it. So it's not happenstance. This is the program schedule ideal.
If you look at audience numbers across our markets, what you find, the greatest use of radio happens between 6 a.m. and 6 p.m. Okay? Once you get past that, it decreases dramatically. It drops off the shelf. Okay? This is common knowledge, and one of the few things I'll acknowledge is common.
So your programming, if it's user-driven, should recognize the fact that the greatest opportunity to reach people with our progressive content is in that 6 a.m. to 6 p.m. window. So if I'm programming in a way that's counter to the user-driven approach, I should not expect to get big audiences during that period. Now, that may not be the only reason we're in this game. But clearly, if you want to have impact in this market, there are some things you've got to adhere to, and that is, how can we make this station better for the listener? Okay? Strict programming, vertical, horizontal, predictable, reliable, we talked about that. I think there needs to be a healthy blend of local and national programming. There's nothing wrong with syndicated programming. I know a lot of you poo-poo that. But Democracy Now! Is by far the most popular show on any of the Pacifica stations. The exception is San Francisco, where their locally produced news program in the evening has a higher rating. That's the only market that we have where Democracy Now! Does. Now, you're waving your hand about money. Yeah, it costs. National programming costs money. You got to have producers, editors, reporters, correspondents. Okay? It costs money. But it's also because that show is produced at the same day, same time every day of the week, Monday through Friday. It's reliable, it's consistent, it's predictable. Okay? Now, when I tune into your station at 4 in the afternoon, Monday through Friday, am I hearing the same show every day?
Yes.
Okay, that's good.
Now.
Okay. I bet you that when you look at the numbers down the road, you'll see that that show performs better than what was happening before,
if it was patch quilt. One of the things we're going around doing is I'm working with the stations on designing morning shows. With Democracy Now! Being the top-rated show on our stations, it only makes sense to build off of that momentum. And so I'm trying to work with our stations to do morning shows, morning drive shows that play off of Democracy Now!'s focus on news and information and deliver audience, potentially. So this is just one model. New York is actually moving forward on implementing this. I think Houston's a long way from it. You guys already have incarnations of a morning show. I know that was brought up earlier. Although it's split up, you got a 6 and a 7. I've talked to Anya a little bit about that. The only station that really has a reliable morning show is, again, KPFA. And it performs pretty well. It's reliable, predictable, consistent. Okay?
Lawrence Reyes is on the phone.
What's up, Lawrence?
New Mexico.
I think maybe 5 minutes.
5 more minutes, Lauren.
Okay, thank you. So, people keep asking about a national program. We used to have one. Why did it fail? Does anybody know? We used to have a national evening program, news program.
Oh, yeah, that was so good.
What happened to it?
The Pacifica campaign, because Amy Goodman wanted her show. Okay.
Is that why?
Uh-huh.
Okay.
Yes.
I think it ran out of money.
No.
It didn't run out of money?
What's the name of the show?
It was Eva Brown.
So anyway, we can move forward.
You're not talking about the national news. Pacifica National.
Yeah, the Pacifica National. Yeah. It ran out of funding.
It took over our local funding.
That's a whole other issue. Exactly. I'm not addressing that. My point is that national programming costs money. Okay? Here's a model for a national program that we've already put on the table for our stations to consider. This was developed in partnership with the program directors across the network. Okay? The idea here is that here in Los Angeles, this is BAI's model, but it's the same across the network. We've got 5 stations, we've got the archives. All can contribute to the national program on a daily basis, right? That's the goal here. So in the yellow, you see what's a 15-minute segment A, okay? What that means is every day LA's journalists, reporters, whatever, would do a 15-minute in-depth report on something that really mattered in Los Angeles for the day. That was the big story for the day. It's in the evening news, so you have the whole day to build it. Interview folks, but create a really rich, robust 15-minute package. They would also do a 5-minute version of that and distribute that to the rest of the stations. Because in New York, they're going to run their A show segment. In Houston, they're running theirs as A. So every station's customized A block is what matters most in their market. And then we go, and all that in the blue are the other stations' 5-minute versions of their A. So that we go around the nation and you hear what's happening in the progressive markets that we serve. This will cost us money because in order to make this work, you have to be able to hire reporters to put the packages together. Okay? Now, I think this is very doable. Not nearly as expensive as some of the models we might have used in the past. But we've got to get to a point where we can seek the funding to make it happen. And that stations can actually employ a roster of reporters who can do these stories. You got a question?
Max, talk about underwriting, please.
I'm afraid to do that.
We do, because it was part of, before it was announced to us that the loan that which shall not be named was actually made public, and we had a summary of it. It was also mentioned that in this loan we have agreed to underwriting.
No.
Thank you. Yeah, we need to hear that. Thank you.
Well, let me say, I don't know anything about that. I've never seen anything that, and maybe Grace can chime or.
No,
I'm just saying.
Yes, you do.
All I'm saying, I don't know anything about the loan being contingent on underwriting. I don't know anything about that. I've never seen anything that suggests that.
It's
again,
a contingency.
Okay.
Please continue with the presentation. Your questions are out of order.
He called me.
Allow him. I don't care. You're out of order.
Ken, I'm fine with ask quick questions and I can pivot off.
I know that, but not if they're going to divert.
Well, let's see what she says.
My question is regarding the Pacifica National Evening News. I think it's a great idea. My question is, where would that leave our local evening news programs, which I think are very valuable?
Well, it depends on what you got. I mean,
no, nowhere.
No, that's not true.
That's not true.
And I think what we've got to get out of this notion is that everybody deserves a show, okay? Sometimes you'd be better off as a contributor to something else. Like, I really think we'd be better served if we focused most of our human capital on our morning drive, okay? That's the most reliable time of day in terms of audience. It gets really helter-skelter in the evening drive. Morning is predictable with your listening audience. They wake up to you, they tune you on, they got you, right? So I can't answer what will happen because it depends on the market, right? Some stations don't have evening news program. Some do. So that's not a question I can really answer.
Ours does, and I just think we would, I mean, I don't want to speak for the whole board, but it's so valuable for the community, and I know that I'd like to protect
it. Well, let me say this to you. You will know if it's valuable to the community when you see the audience numbers. Okay? That's the real hard truth of it, because we think programs are valuable. We think they're useful. We think they're performing well. We think they're loved. But when you look at the audience numbers, you might get a cold awakening that actually nobody listens at 5 o'clock here at KPFA.
Well, perhaps at some point we can discern between the value to the community and whether or not it's being properly promoted and the listenership is even accessing it.
I don't debate you on that at all. That's right. Why, to me, when you evaluate the success of programming, you have to look at a variable of components.
Well, unfortunately, we just voted down listener evaluation and peer evaluation.
Yeah, I don't think that's a useful tool, quite honestly. So, and the only reason I say that is because you don't want people who aren't qualified to evaluate a program to determine if a program is good or not.
Wow.
Okay, just because you're on the air doesn't mean you know good programming. Like I said, program directors, I know, I'm just saying, program directors, that's a skill. That's an art, it's a science, people study that stuff. If you're not one of those people, I'm not sure you should be making decisions on programming.
Are we paying Arbitron for listener
yes.
Rates?
Yes.
$1,200.
All right, let me move on. Another thing that we're doing across the network, all the PDs are applying clocks to their public affairs shows. Now, this is an issue you see already, okay? The reason why this is valuable for every public affairs show that airs is because the program director needs to be able to reliably know when he or she can schedule promotional spots. Not underwriting, promoting the next hour,
right.
Promoting the next day at the same time.
Or whatever.
If the hosts of these shows are making deals with friends to preempt what the PD has scheduled, that's a problem. And that's happening here. That's happening here. Anya told me about it just yesterday. I'm not Anya, Kevin. Kevin told me that people are looking at his schedule of promos and removing and putting their friend show in instead.
Traffic needs to be in control of that.
Well, but it should not be happening in the first place.
Exactly, because traffic doesn't seem to be in control.
But again, it's not really traffic. It's the producer overruling what's on the book, on the law. That should not be happening. What we have, and this is endemic of the entire network, we have producers or programmers who feel like they are they're capable of circumventing the program director's initiatives. I was in New York and a woman got up and said, I don't listen to the program director, I have a relationship with the board. What kind of mess is that? That's crazy.
That's very silly.
But that's just bad practice. And so what we're doing is we're setting up these clocks because one of the ways that we're going to increase audience, this is a very low level approach, but it's effective, is to be able to regularly schedule promos. We need to be able to promote the next hour, and we need to be able to promote the show that comes on the same time the next day. If we just did that, we would increase audience for this station. Okay? So these clocks, this is a simple thing to put in place. It's a reliable, predictable way to promote. For promotion is essential.
Absolutely.
And we're not doing it at all.
I agree.
At the network.
This has been fought for years. It's not been done.
Last couple slides. One of the things I've asked all the programmers to do, program directors to do, is have the programmers sign contracts or agreements. Something that makes very clear that for you to be on this station, you have to play by the rules. Okay? This rogue behavior is unacceptable. Okay? All due respect to however long you've been on the air, how good you think your show is, how many dollars you raise, the program director has initiatives that need to be able to take place. And if you're circumventing that, it's a problem. You need to go. And so I'm asking them to have everybody sign these agreements. It's a two-way agreement, though. It means that the program directors are going to make sure that the facilities are working, that the programmers have proper promotion of their programs beyond the time they're on the air. It's working with them to perhaps do podcasting or make their web presence better, but working with them, a partnership. But at the same time, making sure that the programmers are honoring the initiatives put in place by the program directors. Important pieces.
Excuse me.
Yeah.
Can you please explain why it reveals a at-will situation where the programmer then loses control of everything and he or she can be removed at any time at will?
Well, again.
And that seems to be a provision that is very concerning.
Let me just answer that question very directly. We've been making programming decisions without data. So when we start to put together reports of how programs are performing, I don't anticipate people being taken off the air randomly. It's going to be because the data tells us that the show's not performing well, in addition to maybe not fundraising well. So there's going to be more accountability and an ability to really understand whether a program holistically is performing well. So I'm not worried about that randomly taking off the air.
And you are concerned.
Bella, please let the man finish his presentation. Well, don't get involved in the dialogue.
Continue preemption.
I'm not worried about that. We'll talk about that later.
Next meeting.
We'll talk about that later. I appreciate it. Last few things, folks. Development. Right now, our stations are like 80-90% based on membership drives. Healthy public and community radio stations should really be in the 50% range with that. We're overly dependent. You know this. That's why we do these month-long, four times, five times, six times a year pledge drives, right?
Because of the salary being so
high. Okay, that's it. You're banned from the next meeting. You're banned from the next meeting.
I got you. Just wait till we're done. I'm going to be here afterwards, so we got plenty of time to talk. Go ahead, sir.
Let me be honest with you. Economically, we are completely different. We are 5% of the world population, but we have 25% of world population in prison. And each prisoner calling each other is $5 per minute. USA is not in the same situation. We have a lot of prisoners, we have a lot of students that they cannot afford to pay, you know, their tuition. It's completely different.
Okay. Meaning disconnect.
Okay. I don't know how that relates to what I'm talking about. Maybe I'm I'm not trying to be funny.
You're insisting on strip programming.
Don't feel bad.
Oh, no, okay, I get it. Okay, now I get it. I'm sorry.
You understand?
What I'm saying to you is if I develop a good morning show, morning drive program, if I have quality strip programming, all these issues you bring up should be addressed on a regular basis. What we keep locking ourselves into is this notion that individual shows are where this happens. Okay? That's not the best way, the what they call the magazine format is where you have multiple contributors to a single show that's reliable, consistent, and predictable on the schedule. So those issues should be evident in those strip programs. Just because we have a single host team or single program doesn't mean that the issues relevant to the community won't be addressed. That's why community engagement leads the whole thing. So I feel you, but just know that community engagement, if it's done properly, if it informs the programming, our programming will reflect it. Okay? There's two things happening here. There's doing the ascertainment so we know what to do. There's good programming so that we do it in a way that the user can get with. Right now, our model doesn't work. Okay? Development. I went over this. I want to talk about this real quick, and I'm done. The law of cure. Anybody familiar with this? Any homeopathic people in here? The law of cure, basically, in a nutshell, says that before things get better, it's going to get a whole lot worse. You're going to feel some pain. Okay? We've got to be okay with that. Okay? We've been working with a model that's been broken, I would argue, for decades when it comes to programming. We've been dealing with financial management and accountability that has been broken for at least 5 to 10 years. Okay? Everything that has been an ailment or derailed Pacifica, we are working to fix. We've got systems in place, and I think we're going to get there. This loan is a big concern. I'm not going to lie to you. I'm sure every member of the board, myself, we're all concerned with it every day. How are we going to deal with that? I know that you are as well. But all the systems to help us be better financially, programmatically, are in place. We're just working them in so that it becomes the culture, right? And once that's done, we should be ramping up in a much more productive and profitable way. I just want to repeat, best practices need not keep you from your mission. Okay? Just because we employ best practices does not mean we can't be the most radical, progressive, liberal, whatever you want to call yourself, content creators in the system. It just means that we're applying proven methods to attract audience and keep them. Okay?
So, just remember the law of cure. And that's it.
Lawrence Reyes. Go ahead, Lawrence.
1 second. Let's get back in.
Thank you, guys.
I got one question. Can we distribute this?
You can certainly distribute the bottom one. Thank you.
Maxie,
yeah.
Lawrence has a question.
Go ahead, Lawrence.
Hey, I'm sorry I wasn't able to greet you.
Yeah, I wanted to see you, man.
I'm in the fascination. Hopefully I'll meet you soon. Thank you for your transparency. I have 4 questions and I want you to knock them down if you could.
I'll try.
The first question is, how much of the assets have to be liquidated to become eligible for this loan? 2, when are we going to formulate a plan to pay back this loan? Or do you think refinancing the petition and a credible plan to approach paying back the loan?
'm not good with multiple questions like that. I get lost in what I'm supposed to respond to. So, my apologies for that.
We have 5 minutes left to the end of this local station board meeting.
Can you let him address?
I move to extend time certain to 4:15.
Yes.
No. At least 4:30.
Second.
He's going to stay.
I'm here.
Afterwards.
I'm here for a while.
Please answer the questions.
I'll try my best.
Can you please do that?
All right, that's it. That's it. Order. Stop it. Stop asking demanding questions. You talk to the chair, not to the people, to the other members. You talk to the chair. If somebody made a motion to extend time.
I did. I'm chair. I am comfortable with making it 4:30 if there is a better consensus on that.
Yes, that's what I suggested originally.
Okay.
Second. We just need to do it now before it runs out.
Okay, that's fine. There's a lot of people walked out, but that's the way that is. So, Michael Adler, are you here?
I'm here.
Is that one as funny as I thought?
Are there any objections to extending time certain to 4:30?
You have 20 minutes left of public comment, no matter what. So
ignore that.
Are there any objections of extending time certain to 4:30?
Do we have quorum?
Does it matter? It doesn't matter.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. Well, maybe not.
It doesn't matter.
You already established quorum.
Yeah, it doesn't matter.
Okay, so are there any objections to extending to 4:30?
Fine.
I object to this happening every time.
Right. I got it. Well, it's per Robert's rules, and any time you can alter the agenda with a two-thirds vote. But okay, so now, what are we going to do with this extra half hour?
He has to answer.
Yes, we'll give him 5 minutes to answer questions. He's going to be here after the meeting. Then we're going to go to public comment. Jamie.
I'd like to make a motion because, as Kim pointed out, we still have 20 minutes worth of public comment, which is required.
I thought we did that.
No, we did 10
minutes. No, after your presentation.
Half an hour is required. So I would move to hear our 20 minutes of public comment now to make sure that
I'll just end in 20 minutes, and that way you'll have another 20.
Second. No, we still have two more agenda items as well.
No. That's not it. We've got a half an hour. So you're saying public comment and then Maxie?
Yeah.
Why don't you let me just finish and then I'll clear out.
Let's amend that. Finish up the questions you were asked.
Yeah. And then go to public.
And then we go to public comment.
Okay. You might get questions all day.
No. I'm going to stop. Okay. I've got a heart out, is what I'm saying. I'll only use that time.
I haven't done
that. Did you write that? Thank you.
Well, actually, you can't read my scribbles. So the first one was about the...
No, Polina, not the
number
first
of asset
one.
Liquidation.
One question, not no, ten.
He asked four questions.
He asked four. So,
How much assets were liquidated?
I don't know that.
When is the repayment plan expected for the loan? Anything about the elections? I'm not sure what Lawrence was asking specifically. Okay. And then also transparency and the fact that leaky boards are being blamed on not forwarding people information.
Yeah, our attorney, and Grace probably can help me with this, but our attorney made it very clear that we should not distribute the loan.
Which attorney?
I have to stop. No follow-up questions.
I got this.
You take his answers and you listen. You do not further the question. Cut it out.
I got it.
Know what you're doing. No. He answers the questions. Then we go to public comment. Nothing else is happening. Sorry. Go ahead. Finish the questions.
I don't know the liquid asset piece. I don't know that.
No, asset liquidated. Like, what have we sold off?
I don't know.
We sold the...
I can't give you that number off the
Berkeley. Okay. Mm-hmm.
You know the reason why we're asking you that, right?
I'm sure...
Bella!
I don't... So just
Bella, cork it.
What I'm saying is I can't give you that answer off the top of my head. If I had put it on the... You'd have seen it.
Why do we need to ask you is the question.
Don't answer that question, Max.
Don't.
Stop that.
With the plan... the deal with the loan is that... All has to be paid at the end of the 3-year window. So we're paying.
We're almost there.
We're almost at the point where we have to go beyond our reserve.
Oh, right.
After that, we then pay on it regularly, and then at the end, all of it's due at one point.
Right. Boom.
Okay.
Lawrence, what was your question about the elections?
Well,
you haven't touched on it, Max, here.
I didn't touch on it. Yeah, I'm going to leave the elections off because I just don't. That's a very nuanced piece.
Yeah.
In terms of transparency, like I said, we have an attorney that advises strongly not to distribute that document. There's a summary that we are able to distribute. I believe that's either been done. If it hasn't, it can be done. But that's the extent. That's from the attorney. It's in compliance with what our the folks who gave us the loan requested. And we certainly want to honor that for fear of revocation.
Thank you very much, Jack. Thanks.
Yeah.
Thank
the
you very
Spanish
much.
Language
We're moving to public.
Oh, I thought I had no, so I'm done time-wise? I'm out?
Yeah.
No, that's fine. Okay. Thanks, everybody. And listen, like I said, I'll be here after the meeting for the informal discussion, and
we
I'll
will be
take
here.
Your questions. Okay, so, good.
Okay, thanks again very much.
Thank you,
my pleasure.
Okay, I want to point out, I'm going to make a statement here, and this might not be advisable for me to say this, but violating parliamentary procedure is rude and destructive to the functioning of a body and to the public that's attending. You may think you know the most important thing, but everybody does. Everybody's got an opinion. If we all start jumping in without following parliamentary procedure, which means being recognized before you speak, it forms into chaos. And if you want chaos, go to a mosh pit. Go to a mosh pit, got complete anarchy. Here we follow parliamentary procedure. I make all of my best efforts, and most people I know who chaired made efforts to give everybody an option and address to the decision-making and to the presentation of the debate. You violate that because you think you're a special person. You're being disrespectful to the board. And I will take action on that because I believe in serving the group, not an individual. The group is the most important. In this case, it's the local station board of KPFK. That's this group, not individuals who think they're anointed to interrupt everything. So excuse me for getting upset, but I'm a person. I'm not a robot. I'm not the Dalai Lama. Okay, so now Oscar had a question. Everybody else has spoken. I can't deal with this over the phone stuff. I'm gonna make a ruling on that next meeting. Go ahead, Oscar.
You said we were going to have public
comment. I know, but I looked at the clock. I have time for public. What is your sentence?
I'll leave it for you.
It's going to be Skype.
Go ahead.
Thank you, Chair.
No. The go ahead was not to you, Lawrence. Hold it.
Okay.
Oscar.
Somebody who's completely new to any of these.
Who's that?
You? Myself. Excuse me. Myself. Really find it hard to complain, to hold on my indignation.
Could you speak with
indignation,
the microphone?
Indignation.
So it's just simple. I need to learn a lot of more of the rules and all the stuff. But there is one simple thing that I know, and is to get people. And it really strikes me that aversion to a particular person, in this case here. So let me turn this thing just simple around. It. What is the proper procedure for somebody to censor the chair?
Oh, I'm going to send you. I'm going to do this.
Okay.
I'm going to send you a brief.
The chair.
See that? That's a disrespect of the parliamentary procedure. I will send you a response of what the correct procedure is in the stack of motions in parliamentary procedure. Okay? If you want to rely on other people whispering in your ear, I want to tell you, in my opinion, if somebody gives you instructions, they think you're not intelligent enough to make your own decisions. So I'm going to send you all the base material.
Sorry.
I will send that to you directly. And I'm not, any more questions, we're going right to public comment now. Because I want to end this at 4:30. So public comment, stand up and take the mic, let's go.
Your timekeeper's gone.
Okay.
Okay.
Well, there's a Here's microphone sir. Right there.
Somebody else is going to keep time?
Oscar.
I'm in the public.
Yes, sir.
I came because my wife wrote me to come home.
After time.
And I understand there's a lot of back and forth of infighting here, but I think that the chair has, and his attitude towards the people in the room is really disrespectful to the people in the room.
Thank you.
And I'm not taking sides. I don't know what factions or whatever is going on here. But as a person in the public, I was really upset about the way you were treating the other people in the room.
Fine, thank you.
Thank you.
Next.
Robert, get it.
Mr. Jackson, thank you for your presentation. What I see you doing is applying known national broadcasting expertise to a very difficult situation. However, I want to take a moment to explain what I would like to do. KPFK promotes many organizations, publishers, entertainment companies, celebrity speakers, consultants. They all make money with time on KPFK. Ian Masters, Sonali, Tom Hartman, and on KPBS, Warren Olney. They are all assembling or managing outside outlets to serve themselves.
That is correct.
They are gaining contributions, are selling advertising. They keep that money. I want to make outside yet parallel outlets to move money to KPFK. This can be done without violating the 501c3 status of KPFK. This is what I want to do. In the past, with social media, I have made more money on YouTube and Google than I did as working as a professor. There is money to be made. I want to direct that money to KPFK.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Next.
Bella, I control the public comment, not you. Go ahead.
This is Nancy Lawrence again. Listen, I've been listening to this debate, and I am sometimes, you know, people who chair meetings get off their rocks a bit, and it can be disrupt. I mean, the noisiest person here was the person who was chairing this meeting, and I want to say that Maxine Jackson was very frank, you know, his opinion about stuff, and he was also very decent. He would listen and say, it's okay, I want to hear her question. That was good. So I want to compliment on that. About strip programming, you know, I brought this up before, and you brought it up. I'm not against some strip programming, and there's some good ones like Democracy Now. There's too much of it, and this is why I brought up the idea of the 6 o'clock hour having some more grassroots university programs. After all, we have a schedule. People can look on the schedule either on the internet, and we used to have a folio where people knew what program showed up when. So that's just something to consider. If people, I think the idea of announcing programs before and putting, you know, giving a little spot and say, oh, this program just comes on at this hour, allows people to know, you know, when what program comes at certain times. We need a diversity. The Pacifica News was kind of mellow. You know, we need Fernando Velasquez used to be the news director of KPFK, and he was good. So that's all.
Anybody else? Next.
Come to the microphone.
Sir Fernando Velasquez. I'd like to take the time to congratulate Maxie Jackson for his handling of the audience and the LLB members. I'd like to have a copy of the video. Quite good. Regarding stripping, I would like to suspect that the people who watch the movies in the Los Angeles area are the same residents of the city who also listen to radio. And as far as I know, not a single movie star has a monopoly on being every day at the same time in the same movie theater every day.
Right.
And yet, the movie industry is quite successful. So think about it. Moving on.
Talking about stripping.
It's stripping.
I don't know what you said.
If the same audience that watches. Okay, somebody explain to her. She's a little bit slow today.
Yeah.
There is a sense of predictability that is expected from KPFK. We used to have the programming guide, also known as the volume. Those who were fortunate to have the money to subscribe to KPFK, they got the monthly program guide. And they knew all the programs that were coming, what time, and where.
Right.
Well, that's the privilege of being a subscriber, of being a listener supporter. Doing forward promotion at KPFK, which is, you know, there's a new attempt to do it better, also helps to the audience to know what's coming, so they're not dealing with the unpredictability of not knowing what's up at KPFK. So my perception of a successful radio station is the one that is relevant, the one that, regardless of what time you're listening, you are listening to a good show, that you are interesting, and you are profound, and you got something to contribute to the marketplace of ideas. Lastly, but not least, the reason why the old Pacifica National News did not make it is because they were subjected to an ongoing national boycott by the talent, intellectuals, politicians, activists, did not want to give their talent and their ideas to contribute to that show because it was taken over by the Clinton Democrats, the hijackers, and that's the reason why it went down. After 7 years of fighting and four lawsuits in courts in where the hijackers had to be removed from Pacifica leadership, then Free Speech Radio News tried their very best to pick up the pieces, but they couldn't.
Thank you.
Thank you.
They quit to support Amy's professional PR campaign against the board. And then we privatized, somebody privatized it into FSRA. So once again, after that time, giant money went away from Pacifica.
That's
went towards
right.
Democracy
that's
Now,
right.
One towards FSRN, and that's my version of what happened.
What happened?
There are others.
No need to adjourn it.
No need to adjourn it.
I know,
but we extended it to 4:30.
It sounds like you don't really understand what the loan is about. Well, it's not $3.7 million, as the summary says. And the fact that they've only let out the summary is misinformation.
That's right.
I mean, and that's, like, shocking that that's the only version allowed to the public, which is misinformation. And there is a provision in that summary that says about the underwriting that they're required to do, or if they do it, they're required to use this one particular crony of the lender. You can Google.
I think the definition of underwriting is the problem.
Whatever. This is the information that the board has okayed for the public, and it's misinformation.
Right.
I mean, that's what's shocking. And nobody has said, no, we don't have the tower as collateral. That's shocking that that has not been corrected.
Right.
I mean, what is it, Grace, that you are okay with having misinformation in the public?
Ken, can I ask you to step back from the desks and not really attack individuals?
Why not? She's the chair. That's what happens when you get to be the chair. I did it with Livia. I did it with Michael Novick.
Could you back up, please?
I'll do it with you, Ken.
Thank you.
I'll do it with you. You were a horrible treasurer for 2 years.
Thank
Every
you.
Bit of information you delivered was false information.
Thank you. Okay.
At the end of public comments number two, and we're starting public comments number three.
Right. Okay, we're now in our last segment of public comments.
Go ahead and continue.
Who wants to talk?
We've got time.
Last segment of public comment. I could have missed that for a million
years. Thank you. I never did.
My brother Oscar asked the question, how do we censor the chair? My suggestion to my brother Oscar is the following. These are public meetings. Have someone come to be part of the audience. Have the live video on Facebook. And we do an impeachment of the chair.
Thank you.
With the audience.
Thank you.
Thank you. Next.
This is the last public comment period. So
this is the last public comment. Go ahead.
This is the third
what,
public
comment. What, did you want to speak?
Public comment period.
Can we get an answer from Maxie?
No, we don't answer. Maxie's going to be around after these adjourns.
Yeah, but he's just going to meet with the LSB, not with us.
No, he's meeting with the public as well.
No.
No, you're not meeting with the public?
It's informal with the LSB.
It's a secret meeting.
It's not secret. No, it's not secret.
Yeah, it is.
The impression was otherwise.
No, it's not.
Okay,
secret.
I don't want to argue. I've already argued with you online. I disagree that it's...
It violates the definition. Not if I'm calling it.
It doesn't matter,
it Matthew. Does.
No.
Informally, if
you cannot call that meeting.
It's
okay.
Informal.
Kim,
ask people they want to
I disagree
required.
With Maxie. I think it violates open meeting rules. There you go. We have a disagreement.
Okay.
You're not going to be eligible for CPB for a long time anyways. It just doesn't matter. You have so many other violations of CPB, which members of the PMV know since I felt compelled to write a letter to them and Mr. Kriegler because Grace said that she had had a long conversation with Mr. Kriegler about how we were going to get money for this year. So I wanted to let him know about all the FCC violations at this station that are being ignored.
Right. Okay, thank you.
You still got time?
You're good.
I think it's great, your ideas of programming. I would never weigh in on it because there are so many geniuses within Pacifica about programming. And I can just watch it and just those programming committee meetings. If anybody wants a good hoot, those you should listen to. They are hilarious. I mean, they are stunning.
Okay,
stunning.
Time's
I'm not done yet, Ken. I get to go on as much as I want.
You've already spoken twice.
So what?
So, and are there anybody else?
Nobody's timing. Go ahead, time. Somebody time.
Your time.
She's got plenty of time. 90 seconds, but there's no one who wants to speak after you.
Then you can, yeah.
Then you can continue.
Go ahead, Kim.
I have a whole long list of stuff, but I really...
please go ahead.
I would rather use my time for the directors to see what they have to say, if anything. Oh, they all left except for Grace. Oh, uh-huh. Okay, well. Just cluster on all. Cluster on to
okay,
the end of this
meeting. Okay, Lawrence is here.
Can we hear what Lawrence has to say?
We're in public comment.
No, we're in public comment.
Oh, you talk this way.
Not this way. Lawrence, we're in
some
public comment.
Disabilities you can't see. I
have here. I've got your friend.
But that doesn't
see
it louder.
It does.
It doesn't matter to people who are hard of
okay, Nancy, please.
No. Just trying to explain.
I know, I understand that, but we don't really respond to public comments.
Oh, for God's sake, it's too chaotic. To the comment. Just how to hear the comment.
Okay. Anybody else for public comment? Going once? Twice, third time.
Amazing.
Okay, board. We have like 5 minutes left or something.
I would
accept the motion to adjourn.
So moved.
Second.
I raised my hand three times.
Oh, sorry. Go ahead.
Recognize. What I see, and I think perhaps folks will agree, is a personal disagreement and dislike of one another, of our chair and our LSB member, Bella. It's okay. We all have people that we work with that we don't like, but for me, like, I've been through like violent trauma, and watching you guys scream at each other is just, I check out and I want nothing to do with it. And I know that's part of the purpose. It's why we have a lack of engagement from the community, because people come a couple times and they go, oh, hell no. I do not want this drama basket in my life. And I know I'm not the only one who's been through trauma that gets triggered watching people scream at each other. So I'm asking that next month we all come with a better sense of decorum. He should not scream at you that way, but you are out of line the way you interrupt. And she is out of line the way she interrupts, and you should not scream at her that way. And that is all I have to say.
All right, thank you.
It doesn't work.
Yep, it doesn't work.
The screaming doesn't work either, and it makes everyone else uncomfortable.
Okay, thank you. Okay, there's a motion on the floor to adjourn. Is there any objection to adjourning? I understand.
Motion.
This meeting's coming to an end.
You have had the time. And it's 4:30 yet.
There's a motion on the floor to adjourn. It's not debatable. That's the motion on the floor. You can't interrupt it.
The reports were not done. That's what you said.
Yeah, I got that. So there's a motion on the floor to adjourn. It's not debatable. Let's vote on it. It's been seconded.
Yes, the PMD report.
I've got a recommendation for you. If you don't want to be banned from the next two meetings, stop interrupting. Okay?
All those in favor of adjourning at this time, please raise your hands. All those opposed?
Lawrence, no.
You're opposed at Lawrence?
Yes, Michael,
no. Okay. All those abstaining?
One.
Two. Who's the second abstainer?
Oscar.
Okay, yourself. Thank you, Oscar. Okay, so the motion passes yes 8, no 4, abstain 2.
We are adjourned.
And the issue of, would you like to do the committee report right now informally?